crushing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
And we're not dead yet. In fact, we're stronger than ever, hitting the final stretch. Now to complete the operation. It is Tuesday, April 28th, 2020, 188 days out from the election, and we're seeing the full force of the New World Order, Marxist-Leninist system to shut off an economy, bankrupt the people, shut down the farms, and complete our journey to slavery. But through this process, we will yet again discover the spirit of Americana, the Renaissance in 1776, which shall set us free. I am zenned out. I am focused today. I have really cogitated on what needs to be done, and I am ready to deliver you the next level of the transmission. I hope you stay with us, but they are destroying the crops under federal orders. They are destroying everything. This is the bureaucracy doing it. American farmers being ordered to depopulate livestock, destroy crops. Here it is.
Shad Sullivan, regional director of RCALF USA, is a fifth-generation Colorado rancher and recently delivered this message.
Hey, everybody. This is Shad Sullivan coming to you from the headwaters of Bitter Creek, Archer County, North Texas. We have to talk. State officials will be assisting to help identify potential alternative markets if a producer is unable to move animals and, if necessary, advise and assist on depopulation and disposal methods. Ladies and gentlemen, we are plowing under vegetable crops from coast to coast. We are euthanizing millions of chickens. We are aborting sows and burying feeder pigs. We are dumping milk by the hundreds of thousands of gallons, and now they are preparing us to depopulate the fat cattle ready to harvest because of a bottleneck created by the effects of COVID. This thing hasn't been created by COVID, but the effects of COVID and the logistics therein. Yesterday, the first shipment of imported beef from the country of Namibia hit the shores of the United States of America. And yet this morning, they are telling us to prepare to euthanize harvest-ready cattle. It is time we get food on the shelves, because if you're not concerned about this food supply problem, you better be. We have a huge supply and demand of food across this nation. We can feed the world ourselves, and yet we're destroying our harvests. At the same time, we are importing beef from other countries, beef that is less regulated than our beef, less safe, not as high quality of product, and yet it's happening. At the same time, they are preparing for us to euthanize our harvests. That doesn't sound like sustainability to me, but it is part of the overall goal to vertically integrate your food system. You see, they cannot have control of the people unless they have control of the food, the water, the land, production. It is time we get back to work. We are of, by, and for the people. This is not Nancy Pelosi's country. This is not Donald Trump's country. This is your country, and you're going to go hungry.
And while American farmers are destroying their harvests, U.S. beef is exported to China. U.S. meat plants are closing at a rapid rate, including Cargill Meat, who supplies 22% of the U.S. meat market, and who partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2018 to end livestock production while expanding the production of genetically modified soy in Africa. Reporting for InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
host, Alex Jones, on this live Tuesday, April 28th transmission that we're just now kicking off. The major farm bureaus around the country, the private ones, are coming out and pointing out that major so-called beef packing systems like Cargill are partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to end beef and poultry and pork consumption, that they have a deal with Roundup Ready sterilization soybeans to force you to eat that. And these very same groups now are going around ordering that everybody kill their cows. We just played a special report. It's up on Bandai Video, saying that if your cows are ready to ship, that the USDA is going to come around and oversee the killing of your cows, as if cows can't live out on the farm, or as if cows on the feedlot couldn't be sent back. We now know this is the bureaucracy, the big corporations, the authoritarian countries, all ganged up corporately on America and permanently wrecking everything. This is economic warfare. It's just absolutely incredible. You know, a little birdie told me that one of the lead stories tonight on Tucker Carlson on Fox News is going to be this. It's up on Infowars.com with the video that's been banned, saved there. YouTube censors viral video of doctors criticizing stay-at-home order. He said it violates the terms of service, a press conference with two doctors that own a big string of clinics, and they're saying what all these other doctors are going public and saying, that the death rate is less than 0.1%, and that we're seeing societal breakdown, and a lot of people that are sick unable to go to the hospital because they're closed for anything but COVID-19, basically. And it's confirmed that almost all the hospitals are empty, just like listeners went out and videotaped in the last couple months. They're like, yeah, no, they're closed for COVID. And USA Today confirms, instead of $4,000 for somebody that comes into the hospital in federal grant money, $40,000 for a COVID-19 patient. So they're coding everyone as COVID-19 to, again, up that number. This has been a pre-planned medical tyranny takeover, where the hospitals can lay off 80% of their employees but make bigger profits than they ever did and just gorge themselves on the taxpayer. And again, Trump's told, oh, sir, we're going to fund the hospitals. Oh, sir, we're going to fund these research. And really, it's the opposite of that. It's a total giant scam, a bank robbery. So it's an incredible time to be alive right now. And we're all being taught how to have martial law. We're being taught how to live under total tyranny. We're being taught that we have no basic rights. This giant dystopia just warped out of hyperspace. It was right here, right now, attacking everyone in this society. And I've been told through high-level sources that if you don't shut up and you don't stop, we're going to have you arrested, we're going to have you indicted, or we'll have you killed. And so they're doing that to me. I don't back down. I don't know how. It's not really a flight deal. I run by fighting. I like, the more you attack, the more I fight. Just call me stupid. It's what I do. But I think running has gotten America in this position, and I think it's time to stop running, ladies and gentlemen. But let's air just 4 minutes of the hour and 5 minute press conference that YouTube banned. They've banned Cedars-Sinai, one of the most prestigious hospitals, not just in the U.S., but around the world, putting out a video going, yeah, UV light really is, killing the coronavirus and other things inside the lungs. Well, now it's not just YouTube and Twitter and Facebook censoring that video. Now they've all banned the viral video of doctors criticizing stay-at-home orders. So this is the point that we've reached now, where medical doctors cannot talk about facts and reality because they want you to believe if you leave your house, you're going to die. The human civilization will end. Billions will starve to death. The UN now says 133 million are set to starve to death this year, not the 30 million. That was a UN release yesterday. So this is escalating quickly. And on the Owen Schroyer War Room yesterday, they had a great graphic I saw on InfoWars of a big giant Grim Reaper next to a baby Grim Reaper. And the baby Grim Reaper is COVID-19. He says, hey, you haven't seen what poverty and starvation does. I'm the big daddy. That's the mission accomplished. That's been the globalist plan. So while we're losing our liberties and our future, the third world's losing their lives. So those that want to grandstand about, we're saving lives by doing this. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is all part of a psychological warfare op. Here's the censored video of the doctors. That's a banned out video.
After testing thousands of people in their county for COVID-19, doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Massini, owners of Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, California, held a press conference to share their data along with official CDC data. Dr. Erickson reported that hospitals in California have become empty as a result of allotting all resources to the COVID-19 pandemic.
The hospitals, their ICUs are empty, essentially, and they're shutting down floors. They're furloughing patients. They're furloughing doctors because we just don't have the volume. So we're busy with paperwork for COVID, and we're all focusing on COVID.
He then went over the COVID-19 numbers for the state of California.
We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California.
And for the state of New York,
19,410 out of 19 million people, which is a 0.1% chance of dying from COVID in the state of New York.
And then compared these numbers to the seasonal flu in 2017.
45 million total cases in 2017 with about 62,000 deaths, or a 0.13 chance of death from flu in the United States. So the lethality of COVID-19 is much less.
He then went on to report what is happening as a result of the shutdown and millions of hardworking people losing their jobs.
Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse, alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide.
One of the most interesting moments of the press conference was when Dr. Erickson went on to explain the immune complex and how our immune system regularly adapts to our environment.
The immune system is built by exposure to antigens, viruses, bacteria. When you're a little child crawling on the ground, putting stuff in your mouth, viruses and bacteria come in, you form an antigen-antibody complex, you form IgG, IgM. This is how your immune system is built. When you take human beings and you say, go into your house, clean all your counters, Lysol them down. You're going to kill 99% of viruses and bacteria. Wear a mask. Don't go outside. What does that do to our immune system? Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. Sheltering in place decreases your immune system. And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses, bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike. And then you've got disease spike amongst a hospital system with furloughed doctors and nurses.
Dr. Erickson reported that he has been in contact with leading physicians throughout California, and that they are all in agreement.
And I've been working with some of the leaders, and I've talked to, you know, the head of the CDPH. I've gotten their opinion on this, and a lot of the leaders in Sacramento. And we're all in agreement. But we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban, because the data is showing us it's time to lift. So if we don't lift, what is the reason?
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, let me just do this. Let me give the number out because I really want to have more calls on the show and I want to get it up front and I want to take calls within the first hour most days at least. But I tend to not get to a lot of news these days because there's just so much. It's so insane. Like, you can't do justice to each piece of this. And so why even get to it? In fact, I've got hundreds of news stories and dozens of incredible video clips, but I never got to this article yesterday. And then I was up here this morning at 7 a.m. working, and I had David Knight on in the conference room when I was taking breaks. And he was reading this article on air out of MSN. There's another one out of the Atlantic. This is originally out of the Atlantic. Jack Goldsmith. And it says, internet speech will never go back to normal. And it endorses communist China and says that big tech is now emboldened by all the censorship. And there's a bunch of these articles praising it. And what are they blocking? They're blocking the president's tweets. They're blocking Joe Biden rape victims on Larry King Live. They're involved in total informational control, like something out of a science fiction horror movie. Here's one of the things they censored. YouTube censors video about UV light treatment against coronavirus, newswars.com. We have it archived. We have our own system, Bandop Video, to do that, which, of course, Bandop Video is exploding. People asked me 2 years ago, you've been totally banned. How are you taking it? I said, you're all going to be banned. And I'm going to have a platform that's not banned until they come arrest me. But that's how this works in progression. You don't care that somebody's losing their rights because you think it's only you. But you're actually the target. Then once you learn you lose your rights, you go to the alternative. The alternative explodes so big, it either defeats the original tyrant or it gets overwhelmed and defeated. See, I'm thinking big picture. And people always like, Jones is so weird. How does he advise the president and intelligence agencies and all these groups? Because I don't muddy my thoughts with what's going to affect me. I cut myself out of the picture. I just automatically have always done it. I'm not thinking about what advances Alex Jones. I am a total collectivist because I'm a total individualist. I believe in the individual, but I believe individuals must come together in the collective to defeat evil. That's our only hope. I will lose my life and my future if the globalists win. We all will. So I don't want to be powerful as the ship goes down and be wearing a captain's hat in a sinking ship. I want the ship to float. That means if I've got to die in the process of the ship staying afloat so my children make it, that's a default normal position. I'm not a sick freak, ladies and gentlemen. But I do envy the psychosis-filled globalist and people who just think it's all funny and who don't care and are living in the moment. Because I wish I was a little bit like them so I wasn't tortured, because I am tortured by what's happening. I know you are as well, because you're supposed to. You've got feelings, which means you've got nerve endings. You're connected to things, and you pick these things. And so you want to override the evil. You're called life. You're what makes the whole thing go round, and I salute you. But this article, there's a bunch of them like this, sound like they're defending speech. And you read deeper, it's like, oh, but China, they know what to do. And we need to be more like them, you see, because out of control speech can cause lives. You know, we need a never ending lockdown and no alternative treatments. And we're all dead, even though every model they gave us was fake. Everything was globalist type, Chi-Com run. Here's another one. YouTube censors video about UV light treatment used against coronavirus from Cedars-Sinai. And then YouTube censored 5 million views on YouTube alone, one version. They censored a bunch of other versions, over 20 million views. I checked it this morning. Censors viral video of doctors criticizing stay-at-home order. Well, guess what? Bandot Video's got 500,000 views on that with no sponsors. We're just paying for the bandwidth because there is a distinct pleasure in the fact that they're taking this down on Facebook, Twitter, Google, and its subsidiaries, YouTube. And they are so desperately pissed that we are still on air despite that, because you see, That's not supposed to be there. You're not supposed to hear a press conference from people that own like 20-something clinics. You're not supposed to hear them talk about the governor's office admitting to them it's all a hoax. Because that'll end their world right there, folks. They're planning to take down America, starve the third world, throw out the American recovery, because they're still good professionals in every level of academia, law enforcement, medicine, banking, agriculture. They're still good people, black, white, old, young, everywhere. And they can't let one of us stand up and get attention, because then we might all stand up, and then that ends their little world, doesn't it? But I've got all the new news I haven't hit, and we'll cover it when we come back. And I'll give the number out. It's 877-789-2539, 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. There is a giant third column, fourth column, fifth column, whatever you want to call it, inside the federal government run by the communist Chinese. And it's come out that most media is funded by them. Hell, they bought up most of Hollywood. And they're scared that we're rolling up their Chinese operatives and their networks. That's why they tried to, well, they didn't try. That's why they set up Roger Stone and General Flynn. And they've been up and down me and not been able to find anything they can even cook up. But they're past that point now and are really cracking the whip. But I see that as a sign of their desperation, that they are working around the clock trying to put yours truly in jail because they're criminals. And I didn't get into this expecting to not be killed, quite frankly. Now, it doesn't mean I want it to happen. Doesn't mean I'm looking forward to it. Doesn't mean I'm looking forward to being thrown in a prison cell. But I got an idea we're going to take the country back, and you guys are going to let me out. I'm betting on you, and you're incredible. Those of you that are awake are amazing. I still am sad that more people aren't awake and energized, because the sides are so clear cut here, folks. We're the good guys, and everybody knows it. I mean, the enemy can barely even talk or operate. You can't shut me up. You can't shut you up. Our track record is just solid platinum, because we're real, folks. I mean, we're the real deal, and you're the real deal, and that's why your prayers are paramount, and then you're spreading the word is penultimate, and then you've got the trifecta there, but beneath that is the financial support. But you pray, number one. You spread the word, that's number two. And then that little added magic is the money. And I never even wanted money until they tried to shut me down 15 years ago. And God said to me, I'm not kidding, like, you need to stop being ashamed. You need to build an operation that's huge. You need to fight them on every front. And you need to be prosperous, and you need to do that. And I did it, and you did it, and here we are today. And so now, when you buy a product at InfoWarsStore.com, you're not just getting a great product. You are putting money into the second American Revolution worldwide, and you've seen it pay off like no other dividend. You've seen the victory. It's your victory. You did this. That's why when you call thanking me, that's a sick joke. Thank yourself and thank God for giving you the common sense you've got. God gave you the sense to find your ass just like he gave me. And thank God you're not like these leftists. And don't rejoice and laugh at them, how pathetic they are. That could be us, okay? That's dangerous. That's cancer right there. We ought to mourn what our fellow humans have turned into. And then warn those that still haven't succumbed to Satan. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let me hit a couple of big stories here that just illustrate why they don't want Zero Hedge out there, why they don't want InfoWars out there, why they don't want Summit.News, Paul Watson, host of the fourth hour today, why they didn't like things like Drudge, because that can control the narrative, and they don't. Here's an article out of National Review. We told you 2 years ago that the FBI set up General Flynn and put out fake 302s and then did a fake plea deal because Flynn thought he could trust and hire Democrat lawyers. And this broke last week in the mainstream news, but finally it's in National Review. How they set up Flynn, how he did absolutely nothing wrong. But he advised the president on how to make America great again and who the spies were. So they had to destroy him to teach others a lesson. You give the president real advice, that's the ultimate crime in America right now. Here's another one. And I'd like to say we broke this first. Stuff like Information Liberation, Zero Hedge had it like a day before us, but we popularized it I think, speak of the devil, Drudge linked to us. But look at this. U.S. intel officials, as the Washington Post, believe 45,500 corpses were incinerated in one fortnight in Wuhan. And this is the most incredible article where it talks about millions dying a month in China already just of, did you hear what I just said? Of respiratory illnesses. It's so toxic. And so how they could hide hundreds of thousands of deaths within that. Because you hear like, oh my God, 40,000 Americans have died of COVID-19. It's like, oh my gosh, that's the worst thing since the flu kills that every year. But this article is incredible because remember, it was literally the independent media that broke this first. An independent media that went to publicly available satellite feeds and went, look at these maps. That's where they've got trash incinerators. And that's where they, and normal trash doesn't release this much sulfur. And so they did equations and found it was humans. And U.S. intel goes, yeah, no, it's humans. Thousands a day at one site being burned. That's human intelligence. That's human. Machines can't do that. We have to read what machines say and do. So there's Zero Hedge, March 29th. More evidence China's lying. Number of urns more than double reported coronavirus tests. Yeah, that's March 29th. And that's a fine thing for you guys to find a month ago. It was before that. I mean, there were articles before that. But my point is that, oh, the Washington Post is all over the urns and the satellite images. And it all broke right here in early March. And the crew just searched what I said while I was talking about it and found something a month ago, but it goes back even further. Again, that's why they don't want us on air. Because humans are, you the viewers, you the activists, you the gladiators in the arena, you're not viewers, you're not spectators, you're not listeners, you're gladiators for humanity, you're pro-human. And I'm seeing that everywhere now on Twitter. I'm pro-human, we're the pro-human resistance. People now get it, man. We need a human lobby, a human movement, a human system, just like they have with how workers supposedly, 100 years ago, used to organize into the unions. But just on the packaging, I want to see humans designed it, humans made it, humans packaged it. Sure, okay, you got your machine, great. I make my decision to want a pro-human future. You tell me it's the innovation that I'm shoveled in my grave and I'm over and I'm done and I'm obsolete. Screw you. I can still use my purchasing power that I only have for a little bit longer to say no to your system. And that's why they're doing the lockdown. It's why they're doing the shutdown. They're teaching you that you're obsolete, that you're non-essential, to try to get you to accept that so that the drones and the robots have to police you and control you because we're obsolete because we might die. Think about that satanic statement, the mathematics of that. It's like saying 2 + 2 = 0. Humans are obsolete and die easily from viruses and bacteria, which isn't even true. So we have to make you obsolete so that we can save you. No, they're cutting your arms and legs off. They're tying you up. They're disabling you so they can have their big AI takeover because it wasn't working. The big plan they promised by 2020 would be launched and 2030 to be complete and Ray Kurzweil, and they're all going to be gods and the big tech AI kings robbing us and raping us and spying on us and all this. And now they're in the news going, you have no freedom. Damn right we're watching you. Damn right we're censoring you. You're a medical doctor. You come out and say that people live in bubbles are sick. We'll just ban you. And once we can silence you, we can kill your ass. Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I don't want to go to that level yet unless we can't turn this around. But if you have nothing left to lose, one human could go out and take out 15 5G towers and surveillance grids before you get killed by the drones. Even if they have a drone on every block. And once other humans see other humans do something, stampedes don't just go in the direction of slavery. Stampedes go, rah! Instead of like running around cowering and pissing on ourselves, everybody gets fired up and gets their weapons, and then we're unstoppable. And I'm telling the New World Order, that's all you're summoning. I can feel it. And technology is not a bad thing. Like fire is not a bad thing. Fire to light your hearth and cook some food. Fire to look at. Fire to But you want to put me on that fire? You think I'm on the spit? I got an idea. I'm going to use that fire on your ass. You want to take my guns and tell me I'm a slave? I'll use a knife and take your guns. And I'll burn your ass down. I'll burn your house down. You want to burn, baby, burn? These damn robots are going to burn. Now, we're not at that point yet, but I want you to intergenerationally understand the power you have as a weapon. You got power to take care of your babies and grow crops, be a good person. But you've got the sacred right to defend yourself and to kill when other people are trying to kill your ass. You understand that? You understand me? You need to find your spirit and stop giving in to these devil worshipers while they're trying to enslave you and your family and take everything you've got and everything you ever are and destroy your children. And you need to let them know that you will defeat them one way or another. And it's that spirit that's going to prevail. But you got to find that spirit and just have it there and know that it's something that's going to empower you to work hard and be good and not get in a fight with your wife or your husband and to change those diapers and to carry out the trash and to trim the trees and to work hard because that makes you strong and to save money and to take care of yourself and to have a good life and be happy because you know these technocrats are up there trying to screw you over. But just by you making it a human future and just by you living a good life, as the French say, the best revenge is living well, you're kicking their ass. These blue blood scumbags that are so unhappy, they project their hatred of themselves onto us, and we reject their hate, and we reject their death, and we reject their Hitler garbage and their leftist trash, and we just say, we're not part of you. But if you ever get us down, you think you got me chained up? I'll chew my arms off and bite your neck off, metaphysically. They cannot chain this spirit, ladies and gentlemen. And they will never chain it because they know it's better than them. And that's why they spend all their time trying to chain down people that are strong, who they know they can't deal with because they're scared of competition instead of embracing the competition that makes us all great as our species comes together and moves into the next level. So I said I'd take your calls and I said I'd cover the news and I'll try to hit it all as best I can. Just remember, every day we're still on air is a miracle because of your prayers, your support, and realize that every day that their plan unfolds and the evil is more manifest makes us stronger. We don't want that to happen, but now everything we said is coming true. Well, they can't let that light as the dark of the night comes stay there. So this lighthouse out on this promontory with a wave smashing into it was built to do this, and we're still standing only because of your prayers. We are in this together. And the minute we realize that our red blood binds us to forever, is the day we touch God's face.
You can feel it. You can taste it. You can see it. You can face it.
Sign it all over your life, your children's lives, everything you got. And it's not because you want to lose them or lose your own life. But if you don't, bet it all. They're going to use it against you. And then they got you. And then you're a slave. And all of us and all of our peoples have been slaves before. And we dream of being free. And America, for all its sins, was that promise, that dream that for so many was realized. And so it created incredible wealth and power. And then evil came here to try to take that power over and try to subvert it. And all they had to do was embrace it and love humanity and love competition and embrace the animating contest. All right. I want to go to your phone calls. I am so loaded for bear with videos and articles. And I've really been cogitating, meditating, thinking about what it is that upsets me so much that I have been not even more angry, just more pissed at myself than I've ever been. And a lot of nights not sleeping and just sitting there in a chair for like 2-3 hours at a time, I've come up with it. And I know you're going through this because I know you're just like me. That's why I talk about it from my own perspective and then take your calls at your perspective because I value that so much. It's like President Trump wants the real human perspective, not what came out of a TV, not what came off some, you know, mainstream thing. But what's real and authentic down on the ground. There's nothing higher than the ground. That's where we're planted. Nothing bigger than the grass. That's what makes the whole thing survive. And it's more of a feeling. It's hard to describe, but I know you know what I'm talking about. It's we knew all this was coming, and we knew it was super evil, and we studied it, and it sounded crazy, and we all went through a lot of persecution and ridicule. A lot of folks lost their jobs, you name it, for talking about the New World Order and all this, and the world government and the leftist agenda being evil. And then you thought, well, I got persecuted. Maybe we held it off. You know, we've had some victories. Maybe they're not going to really, maybe the globalists don't mean it. You know, maybe that's talk with them. Maybe they're not going to really do it. And then it hits home. No, they're doing it now. The whole preparation, everything, they pulled the trigger. And just exactly what we said the trigger would look like, they did. Because they said they would. Hell, they wrote all these books on it. And that's the thing is, wow, they really mean it. And they're going to do it. And it makes you kind of like, you know, grab a hold of your guts and say, man, I'm going to have to, like with some big, you know, 6'5" killing machines coming out. You're like, better, like, y'all, I better get myself together here. And it's because we turned loose of God. We turned loose of our children. We stopped caring and we just lost our soul. And now we're going to get hurt real bad. So everybody better get ready to get hurt real bad. We're going to make it through this. But let me tell you, man, I just have grief for this because they're going to take everything you got till you're begging for their microchips and their world government. And you think you got plagues? Oh, you just passed the test, grovel, and they're going to hit you with plagues. They're going to hit me with them. And it's there's nothing like, you know, you're about to get hit in the gut. But, man, when they hit you in the gut, it's like different. Like you've been hit in the gut before, but they do it again. It's like, man, I just got hit in the gut. And that's really what this gut check moment is. What do you got in them guts? Because if you don't fight now, when it's out in the open world government and Satanism and pedophilia and 5G and forced inoculations, what are you going to do when they send the high priest over to your house who's a pedophile dressed like a woman to screw your kid? You let him screw your kid, the big bank's going to put $100,000 in your bank account. Or you're going to go to jail, or a bunch of leftists are going to come burn your house down. Well, you know what? They do that to us. We do that to them. And the only reason I'm getting down to these points is we don't start stuff physically, but we finish it. And I'm just telling you where all this is going. And it makes me sick because we should have been able to easily, intellectually, spiritually defeat this, but people gave up on God just like the Old Testament over and over again. We gave up on all the stuff that makes damn sense and works. We pissed, oh, that's our parents, their grandparents. We don't need that. We know what we're doing. No, we didn't know what we were doing. And now we are eaten up by Satanists. But I don't want violence. I'm a peaceful person. I'm for defense, though. And I just want you to remember that God's watching what you're doing. And they're going to stage mass shootings and blame it on us. We don't want violence. I'm simply explaining the fact that we better politically be engaged and involved now to change things with our word of mouth and our action and our dollars and what we do. And this isn't just some hobby where you fight the New World Order now. You're learning. They'll lock your ass down on house arrest. You're a prisoner. You better put your full energy out. You better say hell no from the rooftops because not being active is what's gotten us to this point. They're following a scientific playbook of oppression with a high-tech modern overlay. But they're following an exact blueprint. And that's why people keep saying, okay, now the internet's now like totally freaked out. Like used to, I was 50-50 being attacked. Now it's like 90% support. Great. I could care less. That's not about me. But as a bellwether, people go, how the hell do you know this? How do you know that? Because psychos love to brag, and they told us everything they were going to do. I didn't know criminology when I was younger, so I'd watch a movie. I'd watch a comic book movie, and the villain always brags about what he's doing to you. I thought, well, I was a villain. I would brag. I'd just kill your ass. But see, I wasn't the villain. I'm a hunter. I just get the job done because I want some food. I'm not out to hurt people. But a villain loves that they're better than you, and always when they got you tied down, they're going to sit there and tell you how they screwed you. Because they get off on their superiority. So I'm watching these supervillains wind this whole thing up. And I'm just like, folks, we really, they had all these plans and they did everything they said they do. And now these crazy, there's one thing about villains, they're neurotic. They're OCD, man. They follow their plans, which makes them hard to beat because they never stop. But it makes them easy to beat because you've got their battle plan. And that's what I'm like telling the president. Can you imagine telling the president or his advisors the stuff I say on air? Can you imagine when I've delivered the president packets of info with all the proof? Talk about, that's pretty cool, isn't it? But what does that say? It says we're so incredibly weak, it takes some crazy dude from Texas to do it because everybody else is too scared. I'm scared to not do it. I mean, let these crazy people run everything? I mean, I'm doing this. I'm scared. I'm not doing this because I'm on some power trip or I'm doing some, you know, measuring contest of how long my tallywhacker is. I'm doing this because I'm scared of these people. I just don't get rolling over to evil like that makes you safe. Like, oh, the big bad wolf just came to my house and ate half my family. But if I pet him, he'll eat me last. You know what? I'm going to kill the big bad wolf. And that's all I'm saying is, why do we grovel? Because if the big bad wolf knew he came in our house, we were going to attack him, he'd run. But instead, when the big bad wolf comes in, I used to watch when I was a kid, like Friday the 13th, and I always wonder, like, do people run for the woods and they see Jason, they fall down and crawl and scream and let him kill him? And I thought, that's ridiculous. I would fight. See, I was following my instincts. But I learned later, no, the average man or woman would actually fall down to some guy with a machete instead of getting a rock or a stick and killing their ass, or at least fighting. And I thought, well, everybody's going to, like, get a rock or a stick or fight this out. Some dude pulls a machete on me, I'm going to pick this table up and smash it over the head. I'm not some badass. I'll just kill your ass. I mean, I don't understand this. But see, everybody isn't a leader, folks. Most everybody else goes, like in the movies, oh, don't kill me. No, please don't. And that's why they get their ass killed. So all I'm telling America and the world is this. Stop laying down. Stop kissing ass. Good people, work with them. Work together. That's a great thing. But don't let them twist that instinct to lay down a tyranny. Your phone calls are coming up. I'll say this. I need money to fight these wars. And you're the wind in my sails. We got products you need. Food back in stock. X2 back in stock and so much more. You fund us? Well, then the punch I hit him with is more powerful, like a video game. You fund us? Man, it's like, wee, boom, Popeye. You don't? Get my ass kicked. It's all in God's plan. I'm not worried. I turned it over to Jehovah. Look at this doctor going public. It was in Idaho and New York and California and Mississippi and Texas and Michigan and just everywhere. And these two guys have a whole bunch of clinics across the state. And they're well-known, and they're telling you stuff you already know is true.
96% of people in California who get COVID recover with almost no significant sequelae or no significant continuing medical problems. COVID-19 is one aspect of our health sector. What has it caused to have us be involved in social isolation? What has it caused that we are seeing the community respond to? Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are secondary effects from COVID. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse. We see people coming in here with black eyes and cuts on their face. It's an obvious abuse of case. These are things that will affect them for a lifetime, not for a season. Alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide. I talked to Donnie Youngblood and various people in the community. I've asked them, how are things going? Suicide is spiking. Education has dropped off. Economic collapse. Medical industry, we're all suffering because our staff isn't here and we have no volume. These are all real things that I'm seeing every day. I don't read about this stuff. I'm seeing it in my clinics. We have clinics from Fresno to San Diego, and these things are spiking in our community. These things will affect people for a lifetime, not for a season. And I've talked to, you know, the head of the CDPH. I've gotten their opinion on this, and a lot of the leaders in Sacramento. And we're all in agreement, but we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban.
It's this stuff that'll kill the New World Order, folks. This is real medical information. It's everything you've already heard here. It's everything you always knew. When you were a little kid and got sick, you could be 70 years old. You know, Mama said, go out and get some sun. And then we're told today, arrest people that give hope and say that.
Arresting someone for sitting alone on the beach, tell me how that arrests the spread of the coronavirus from an epidemiological point of view.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to that. I actually don't have the specifics as to why that happened.
The Bill of Rights, as you well know, protects Americans' right, enshrines their right to practice their religion as they see fit and to congregate together, to assemble peacefully. By what authority did you nullify the Bill of Rights in issuing this order? How do you have the power to do that?
That's above my pay grade, Tucker. So I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
COVID-19 is going to be in our lives for at least the next year until there's a vaccine. And we need to figure out a way to get back to as normal of a life as possible while this plays out in the background. The solution is not to lock us into our homes.
See, Thomas Malthus, 260 years ago, said, herd the poor into buildings with no sun so they get the vapors and die, get rid of them. And he's the father of modern eugenics. By the way, anybody can look at what I just said. You can search Malthus, Malthusianism. You'll be like, holy hell. But Jones says some crazy ass stuff. Man, I'm not the crazy person. I'm just telling you what these crazy ass people are up to.
Depopulation should be the highest priority of foreign policy towards the third world. Henry Kissinger, 1974.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world. Now, none of this may succeed this time, but this to me is sort of the outline by which someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
And let me tell you, we're all in danger, because if you want to follow right down from Plato to Malthus to Galton to Hitler to Bill Gates, the apple don't fall far from the tree, because it's the same tree.
Your phone calls are 60 seconds away. Don't act so surprised.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Don't act so surprised, Bill Gates. You didn't think America would roll over so easily, did you? A lot of people have been working behind the scenes while you were working. We don't need an internet to communicate. Don't be too proud of this technological terror you constructed, Bill Gates. The ability to exterminate the third world is insignificant next to the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. Maybe a good boy, because I'm not going to calls because of lack of news. I want to hear from callers. You can dispense with the pleasantries. That's another Darth Vader quote. And let's just get right to the meat of it, because I want to get the next person, because I respect each of you, and I appreciate you calling. We have Mike, Brendan, Rick, Joe, Cowboy, Hunter, Carlos, Jeff, and many others. And let's go first to who's been holding the longest. Well, cowboys are reckless and wild, so they always go to the front of the line. Cowboy in Oregon, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, thank God. Oh, my. Good speaking to you. Thank you for my call.
Thank you for calling, brother. What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind today is I seen yesterday, this is going on what you were talking about, how the Democrats are talking about suspending the elections. Well, Governor Cuomo in New York has suspended the Democratic election there. And citizens actually need to stand up and say, no, we need to have our elections, Democratic, Republican, Independent, doesn't matter. We need to have our elections. It's right. Because without elections, there's no president, and then they can put whoever they want in. That's not right. I also want to plug in for a second. I've been taking your lung cleanse for about a month and a half now. The reason why I'm cowboys, I work here at a cow ranch. I've been working here for 4 months, 5 months going on now.
By the way, a lot of folks think cowboys are only in Texas. That's actually a Spanish name for like one of the hands that was younger working with cows. It goes back to Spain 1,000 years. But Oregon and California were bigger cowboying areas than Texas. For folks that don't know, because all the hills and the work you got to do there, Texas is easy cowboying with those big plains.
Correct. That is. You got all plains there, and it's easy to maneuver the cows where Oregon and California.
Yeah, real cowboying is like in Spain where they got the hills, just like in Oregon.
Yes, sir. You're correct about that. Yes, we do handle cows, and that's what the original name cowboy came from. Not for them cowboys that run on the horses and, you know, tie up the cows in that way. It's not that. It's actually the men that handle the cow ranches here at the feedlots and everything. And here lately, I've been seeing quite a few cows here lately been dying off, even calves here at the feedlot. And it's just making me scratch my head. I have not asked any questions about what's going on. I don't know if it's like the COVID-19 or anything. But here lately, we've been getting some cows that are just dying over. But anyways, about your
You didn't see the senior cowboy giving those special rain tubes. They can get dispensation and payoffs on those. We actually led with a show that they've got a program through federal government to kill your cows off. Trump doesn't know about this, folks. By the way, I don't know what's going on across the street in my own offices with 100 employees. They're great people, but I'm not giving Trump cover. He just doesn't know. Every time he learns about something, he does the right thing. They've got a program to kill the cows off to basically just shut the country down and make us dependent on foreign beef. Did you know about that?
No, sir. No, did not know about that.
Tell me, did the cows die on the open range, or they die at the feedlot?
They've been dying here at the feedlot.
Well, yeah, you know, my dear Watson, the deduction is the key to this. And so if they're dying at the feedlot, the number one thing would be the water or the feed they're being fed.
True that. Or the medicines that they give shots to. They've been, you know, they give shots to them and everything. I don't know what's in that medicine or whatnot.
Well, let me explain. Is it prime beef? What kind of beef you got there?
It's prime beef. We got jerseys.
No, I understand. So if you've got prime beef and it can't be delivered to the slaughterhouse, then they kill it and get the full amount of dispensation for each cow, and you're just not being... So you think it's a vet giving them a shot, but really they're giving them a shot of cyanide. Tell me, how are these cows... Are they foaming at the mouth when they die?
I have not seen any foam out of the mouth yet.
What are you seeing when they die?
They're coughing like... doing that number, and yeah,
that's what cyanide does. That's how they, yeah, that's the cheapest poison. So they're huffing to death, but there's not foam. But normally, that's what I'm talking about. All right, God bless you, brother. I appreciate your call. Let me air Greg Reese's short report. This is just a farmer from North Texas. He's also got a ranch in Colorado. And again, I've got a ranch, and I do some ranching, so I know a little bit about cows. Let's just say no hat, all cattle, but. Let's go ahead and play that report as we go to break. about the federal government saying, kill off your cattle and offering money to do it. And then they've got vets that are going out injecting the cattle with poison that kills them in about 2 minutes. And then usually when you get a cyanide injection, that's what you that's what I was describing. I just, you didn't see foam, I guess, in these cows' mouths, but I know how it's done. Here, let's go ahead and roll that report.
Chad Sullivan, regional director of RCALF USA, is a fifth-generation Colorado rancher and recently delivered this message.
Hey, everybody. This is Chad Sullivan coming to you from the headwaters of Bitter Creek, Archer County, North Texas. We have to talk. State officials will be assisting to help identify potential alternative markets if a producer is unable to move animals and, if necessary, advise and assist on depopulation and disposal methods. Ladies and gentlemen, we are plowing under vegetable crops from coast to coast. We are euthanizing millions of chickens. We are aborting sows and burying feeder pigs. We are dumping milk by the hundreds of thousands of gallons, and now they are preparing us to depopulate the fat cattle ready to harvest because of a bottleneck created by the effects of COVID. This thing hasn't been created by COVID, but the effects of COVID and the logistics therein. Yesterday, the first shipment of imported beef from the country of Namibia hit the shores of the United States of America. And yet this morning, they are telling us to prepare to euthanize harvest-ready cattle. It is time we get food on the shelves, because if you're not concerned about this food supply problem, you better be. We have a huge supply and demand of food across this nation. We can feed the world ourselves, and yet we're destroying our harvests. At the same time, we are importing beef from other countries, beef that is less regulated than our beef, less safe, not as high quality of product, and yet it's happening. At the same time, they are preparing for us to euthanize our harvests. That doesn't sound like sustainability to me, but it is part of the overall goal to vertically integrate your food system. You see, they cannot have control of the people unless they have control of the food, the water, the land, production.
By the way,
it is time we get back to work. We are of, by, and for the people. This is not Nancy Pelosi's country. This is not Donald Trump's country. This is your country, and you're going to go hungry.
And while American farmers are destroying their harvests, U.S. beef is exported to China. U.S. meat plants are closing at a rapid rate.
China's open for business.
Including Cargill Meat, who supplies 22% of the U.S. meat market.
God, they're dangerous.
And who partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2018 to end livestock production while expanding the production of genetically modified soy in Africa.
Sterilizes you.
Reporting for InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Powerful info.
You know what's really smart?
Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation, triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom?
Songs of freedom.
Is all I ever have.
All I've ever had.
Redemption songs.
I only took two calls last segment. Let me take more of them now. So much big stuff happening. Imagine the full assault that globalists is now happening. It's not like, oh, there'll be martial law and forced inoculations and drones. And it's all here. And it's like, wow, they really meant it. I mean, I knew it was coming. Imagine the general public didn't know it was coming. I knew it was coming. And I'm completely freaked out. I drove to work this morning at 5:30 a.m. because I got a lot of work to do. And there's usually only a few cars on the road at 5 a.m. There was nobody on the road. I drove all the way to my house, to my office, and I did not see one car, like an apocalypse. Generations are going to feel this shutdown. See, I run a pretty good-sized company, so I know how things work, like enough product to sell, to keep everybody employed. You got to know how much money you got to buy more product. You know, just to get the word out, I got to be a businessman. So then I know what it means to just shut something off. Boom! If we weren't positioned to fight the globalists, we'd already be shut down. Restaurants I've gone to since I was a baby are closed. People go, well, why is Trump being all confident? Because he knows if he isn't confident, we'll go into total depression. I'm talking about nothing at the store. We're like, I don't want to say this, folks, but I got to be honest with you. It's about a 60% chance we go into total collapse. And I mean power going off sometimes. I mean baby starving to death. I mean you ain't getting your medicine. I mean it's done. And there's one thing I want to say, and I'm not a vindictive person, but I'm not taking the blame. And America shouldn't take the blame. David Rockefeller, who set all this stuff up, Bill and Melinda Gates, the Democratic Party, the MSM, the people that went along with this. And again, here's the deal. If we don't assess blame, they're going to blame us when it all goes down. I just want to make sure that we make lemonade out of lemons. If things, because, I mean, I'm already having to, I never think about losing. And for the first time in my life, folks, I'm thinking about trying to get lemonade out of lemons. Seriously. I mean, God Almighty, sweet Jesus, sweet, sweet Jesus, help us. Because I'll go to your calls, but let's just go to your calls. I'll say it next segment, but you understand it's not just rhetoric when I tell you about the depression. You can look this up yourself. 90% of people lived in the country. About half of those were self-sufficient. That's 45% of people were totally self-sufficient. Today it's 5%. We have a collapse. Here's why I felt so sick. I'll admit it. I will eat my neighbors. I'm not letting my kids die. I'm just going to be honest. My superpower is being honest. I've extrapolated this out, and I won't have to for a few years since I got food and stuff, but I'm literally looking at my neighbors now and going, I'm ready to hang them up and gut them and skin them and chop them up. You know what? I'm ready. My daughters aren't starving to death. I'll eat my neighbors. See, my superpower is being honest. I'll eat your ass. I will. I'm combat model, optimum self-sufficiency, probably the leader. The point is have you thought about that yet? Because I'm somebody that thought I could fix this, and I'm starting to think about having to eat my neighbors. You think I like sizing up my neighbor, how I'm going to haul him up by a chain and chop his ass up? I'll do it. My children aren't going hungry. I will eat your ass. And that's why I want the globalists to know. I will eat your ass first. You're not. We're going to dig you out of those bunkers. We're going to dig you out of those holes. You make us eat. Let me tell you something right now. I swear to God, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get my hands around your throat. And you know, that's why you're begging for peace right now. You should have thought about that when you turned down Christ a long time ago. You want to meet with me, you Satanist? Meet with me. How about you get on your knees to Christ? You'd meet with my boss right now, but you can't do it. You think you can meet with some low-level nobody? I'm nobody. You think Christ would eat somebody? He would never do that. I will. I'm not going to watch my daughter starve to death. Now, you could say that was a metaphysical hypothetical, but it's really not. And let's just skip past the jokes here. Every actuary and government study from South Africa, the United States, to Germany, to Russia, to Japan, to South America shows in about 7 days, almost everyone commits murder for food. Within 14 days, almost everyone resorts to cannibalism or commits suicide. Now, I would commit suicide before I did that, but my children are my weak place. I'll barbecue your ass flat. I will eat you. So all you spirit cookers act all tough all day, how you're doing your little satanic rituals, drinking blood and stuff. I'll drink your blood. You understand that? I will hang your ass up and cut you into cutlets like a filet mignon and grill your ass before I watch my daughter starve to death. See, now you took society and civilization as if it was some joke you could piss on all day. Didn't you understand? You unleash the animal once you do. You unleash the beast, and you're not the beast. I don't claim I'm the most tough guy around, but compared to you, I'm Godzilla on steroids. But just for the courts and everything, I'm joking around here. I'm not going to eat anybody. Because like I said, if it came down to me alone, I'd starve to death before I did it. Well, my baby's coming to the equation. I will cook your ass up so fast. And I'll tell them, oh, I killed a cow out back, baby. Here it is, because my babies ain't going to die for your crap, your failure. I will eat your leftist ass like corn on the cob. I'm ready. You want to worship Satan? Well, guess what? You're about to meet something worse, you dumb sacks of crap. You've been pissing on civilization your whole life, not knowing it's men held it up. It was savages held it up because we knew how bad we were and we didn't want you to let us loose. But now you demand we pull the fist out and just shove it into your teeth. So good. Before I'll sit there and live off starving Latin Americans and Africans, I swear before God, I'll eat one of these globalists on a spit. Oh, I'm a performance artist, like they say. Alex Jones isn't real. Everybody knows I'm as fake as they come. Your calls are straight ahead. When a Yule, crank it up, is put on the fire, it pops and sputters and talks. So while I'm sitting here acting like I'm having a good time, it's because I'm dying. But I'm dying to be with you. And I've already done a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure we go into the future for a long time. Listen to this. Everything's going to be easy. Crank it up once I'm killed by death. Got to stop fearing death. Killed by death, my friends. Motorhead, man. You talk about some music right there. Killed by death. Let me tell you, if you study the algorithms of finance and life and business, it took hundreds of years to build this infrastructure. It's been misused and we've been decadent and all that's true. But hundreds of years of work and infrastructures is being like a building being demolished, brought down right in front of us. And I sit back. And I watched the UN now admit 133 million people are going to starve to death in the next year. It was 30 million a week ago. And I agree with those numbers, by the way, because I know how tenuous it is. And, man, when I'm sitting there at dinner, like eating a steak or a potato that I just grilled, I don't say this to be some goody-two-shoe virtue signaler. I, I can't even eat like super good food anymore. It's not some leftist thing either. It's like, I'm like, people are starving to death and I'm sitting here eating a filet mignon. Because what's the sacrifice supposed to be? Like, the left is killing all these people and it ruins my dinner. That can seem silly. But yeah, there's the story from last week. It's now 133 million starving to death. And if you know the third world, that's a very conservative number. Like I told you, I could have done the whole show today off this one article. Internet speech will never go back to normal from the Atlantic. And it says right here in this article that China's good and you deserve what's about to happen to you. All right, let's just go to your calls. This is just unbelievably sick. Why don't we educate the third world? Why don't we build that? I've read the actuaries on that. You could do it. No, we're just going to starve them to death because it makes these people feel good about while they use giant third world hordes of men who want a future to come drive us down and drive down our wages. Because, see, just because the third world's a bunch of brainwashed people who are under globalist control, if I was locked up in some third world country and a man, I'd be like, I'm getting to a country that's going to give me some freedom. But see, they're still an enemy because they've been programmed. So people go, why are you for the third world, but you want to block them coming in? Because I want to make their country successful. There's the paradox. The left's like, oh, let these people in. Oh, yeah. They've been brought in. They're all weaponized against the country. Let's just go to your calls. Jesus. There's not much time to fix this. I've warned everybody, and I'm going to have to go into a selfish mode soon. And I feel guilty every time I'm around my children that I'm not building some armored redoubt, because the globalists are building armored fortresses because they know what they've done. And look, there's a genetic selfishness where I'm just like constantly, like I have dreams about it. Just run, go to Northern Canada. Just get out, Jones, get out now. Because let me tell you, I love my children. You know, you're right, son's off. My son's great, but he's a son. I don't even worry about him. But my daughters, I have nightmares about my daughters. I just constantly worry about them. I've tried to save the whole thing, and you've tried to save it. I don't know if we can save any of it, folks. I got to tell you. And then God tells me, how many kids did you kill, Jones? You probably killed 15, 20 kids you knew of back before you had Jesus. And so now, you know, that comes back on the ones that made it, son. Because when I die, spirits are real. I'm going to have to sit there. I can't wait, actually, to meet these incredible people. Like, I mean, I would be tortured for 1,000 years for one of the children I know. I would do anything for them. And I can't imagine the children that I supported being chopped up and butchered, that I never knew, that I destroyed all that wealth, all that power, everything. And instead the left makes a sick joke out of it, killing their own children. Not knowing how the universe works. You think you kill your children and you don't get destroyed? You think you let some doctor vacuum out your child's brain or chop your daughter or son up and that you don't then die? Just think about how the universe works. You never get away with sin because you reap what you sow. And what comes around goes around. And I just think about people so cut off from God that they make jokes about how they had an orgasm while their daughter's brain was vacuumed out. I look at that person and I say, you're going to experience eternity without God. And that's a cold place to be. And I've ranted too much. Let's not talk about what I've said here today. But this is the time to get real. This is the time to cut the crap, folks, and get right down to who you are and what you stand for forever. Because that's all that ever matters. Joe in New Jersey, go ahead and take us out of this segment. Sorry for making you old.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? I just wanted to say that I think a way that we could get around this is, you know, we don't have a real infrastructure. You know, Twitter shuts us down. YouTube shuts us down.
No, that's why they want InfoWars. It's a little pathetic infrastructure. Humanity has nothing. The babies have nothing. We have nothing. We're just nothing. We don't get infrastructure. Only the satanic demons get infrastructure.
That's right. And they built up these big box stores, and there's no real way for small businesses, no matter what industry they're in, to be able to connect in a good way. And that's where it needs to start. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who do have great small business, who have a lot of money. They're looking to invest in talented people, talented ideas. And there's really no way to get people to connect like that because it's all drowned out by the big box, you know?
Exactly. So people should deny the big box. Like big box is pedophilia. Big box is Satanism. And we all do it because we're in a town. We need to go buy ammo. We need to buy diapers. We need to go buy orange juice. We go there. We have to realize, no, I can't go there. I have to buy. The biggest business would be like some symbol. I'm pro-human. I'm low level. Like I'm little. Like a little symbol. Like I'm little. We need to like, I'm micro. I'm local. We need to, and it means it needs to be micro. It needs to be local. Local is king. Because local is close to humanity. What do you think?
No, that's great. You know, just like everybody has their symbol. You know, we have our own symbol. We're united by whatever that little symbol is and say, I go there and shop. I do business with them. And that's
what they're afraid of. And here's the thing. They knew we're already, everyone's rushing out of the cities. That's why they did this is they're losing. They had this big, beautiful plan. But let me tell you, as the Bible says, but I'm even without the Bible, I've seen the projection. It's exactly as Revelation says. They're gonna race and fight us and look like they overcome us right at the end, just so Satan can be defeated. And then it just all ends instantly, my brother. I love you. Beautiful call. All right, I'll try to just take calls when we come back. I'm sorry, I've been out of control today. Apprentices, who does his own thing now. That's the thing about apprentices or children who do their own things. But long after you're gone, they come back. I got a plan. He takes over in the next hour. Let's go to Rick in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Rick. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Great to talk to you. I watched your piece about the farmers plowing under their crops and killing their livestock. And I was just wondering if they were told to do that by the government. I mean, why would they do something like that in a food crisis? And who has the power to make them do that?
It's the money. So let me break it down. We could spend 1,000 hours on this because this is farming. And we've got a family farm and a ranch still. And we're barely involved in it. It doesn't make money, but I know about it. So when you got feed animals that have been raised on the land, they're put in a feeder, you put all this money into them, and then Cargill and Tyson and the other ones, there's only like four big ones now. They consolidated in the last 20 years. Used to be hundreds of meat packers. There's only like four right now. Once they do that, you're sitting there with prime beef. This cow is worth like $20,000. But they won't take it. So Trump, when he signed off on stimulus, thought he was sending money to the average person. But it's actually a check that then goes to the ranch or the farm to destroy it. Or take dairy cows. I'm sure you know this, but they fill up 2 or 3 times a day. They're Jersey cows, they're Holsteins, they're bred to do this. Okay, and so you have to off-pump the milk. Well, there's no trucks to get it or stores to pick it up because of the lockdown. They have to dump and they have to show it in a video to the federal government to get their money back. So the government creates the artificial atmosphere where they've got to then do these things. And then exactly China and Argentina and, you know, all these countries, they don't have restrictions. So they're all shipping the meat in while we're under the restrictions. So, yeah, it's a huge globalist coup.
One would think with all the resources and power of the federal government that they would be able to marshal whatever they need to truck this this produce.
Man, they're too busy making sure somebody doesn't say that colloidal silver might kill bacteria. I mean, seriously, the federal government is like the most bean-counting slaves you could ever imagine. I mean, I hear you. They don't even know that. They're like, do you think the FBI cares that China's shipping in all this beef? No. They just, as a bureaucrat, if they can piss on a farmer and make him follow things, they feel like they're doing their job. They only think of America. So they've been regulatorily given authority to piss on America, so they do it.
It seems to me like the federal government should take more control. I mean, they have the power.
Yeah, no. Trump has the power, and I like Trump, but it just shows he doesn't have the knowledge of it because he hasn't been studying it like other people have. No, you're absolutely right, Rick, this is a freaking fiasco. God bless you. Get ready, folks. I told you. I mean, this is a look. The microchip and the forced inoculations is all gravy. And gravy's great. I got chicken fried steak. I want that steak. I got broccoli. I got potatoes. I got carrots. I got, you know, side dishes. The gravy's fun, though. You know, I like the gravy. It's gravy to shut down America. It's steak to turn off the third world and kill hundreds of millions. And that's happening now. And so as nationalists, as Christians, as conservatives, as evil white men, we need to come out and say, it's wrong to starve Africans and Latin Americans and Asians to death. We don't support that. And it's Trump's total Trump card. I mean, if Trump just comes out and goes, the UN says 133 million are starving to death right now. You're racist if you don't stop this. It all ends. And I advised the president on this last week, and I advised him on it this morning through multiple sources. I'll just leave it. And they are, the response was, we're going to kill your ass. I'm like, okay, great. Dude, I can't live. I mean, imagine all those babies in Africa and Latin America. You could say overpopulated, not overpopulated. Are you going to pull the trigger and blow their heads off? When little kids begging for food and dying. I mean, come on, man. We're not doing this. It's not in my DNA. And that's the real world. Pull up the articles like AP yesterday. 133 million people starving now. It was 33 million last week. I mean, there's not a million dead worldwide from this virus, but millions are dying. Why do we... Oh, 265 million starving. Sorry, it's gone up. And then the very UN that's running all this is like grabbing money. You think when you stand before God, and believe me, you will, folks, you don't just take DMT and stand before demons. You die, you stand before God. You walk in there, the judge is right there. And it's like, oh, you could have saved a couple hundred. Well, they were lower humans. You're dead. Okay, tell you what, you're going with all the people that think these people don't matter. Just right there. Boom, you're gone. Like, so, hey, knock yourselves out. Hunter in Michigan, thanks for holding your own ear, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Jones, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Pleasure to speak to you, brother. What's on your mind?
I'm just wondering, do you think we're going to survive this tyranny?
No, we're going to die.
Well, me and my buddy...
But our spirits, brother, live on. So what matters is our consciousness. Hold on to that. You ever been out in the ocean and sucked under by a rip current? You're lucky if you haven't. I have a few. You ever been sucked under by a rip current?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times.
You a surfer?
No, I've just been to Florida many a times in my life.
And what do? You turn loose and you pop back up, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So you're asking me the question is, well, go start over. I'm going to stop talking. Go ahead.
So, me and my buddy, he just got an AR. We're ready to protest Whitmer again on the 30th.
That's beautiful. Yes, will we survive this tyranny? Your spirit totally survives, but your spirit has free will, so you have to point it the way you want it to go. And I'm not telling you something you don't know, Hunter. Which way is your soul pointed, Hunter?
Towards the Lord.
Damn right, brother. Mine is too.
And I got another question for you. I haven't really heard you talk about it really that much in the past 3 years. Why the hell did Willie Nelson support Beto?
Willie Nelson, who I've known for 20 years, until about 10 years ago, was super smart. And Willie Nelson came to my Endgame event. I've hung out with him at his house many times. And then he, by the time he hit about 80, man, that dude smoked like 18 wheelers of marijuana and drank thousands of gallons of liquor. And he's gone. And Willie says he doesn't drink. He smoked. No, Willie always drinks. He drinks whiskey. He drinks red wine. He drinks it all. So most of us aren't as tough as Willie Nelson. I mean, Willie Nelson is tough as nails. And if I smoked half as much pot and drank half as much alcohol, I'd be dead at 46. So that's the truth is Willie Nelson ain't there. It's kind of like they rolled out Charlton Heston like 6 months before he died to say, I'm not for the NRA and, you know, I hate America and all this stuff. That was his senile wife with him. That's not Charlton Heston. They could roll me out when I'm 80-something and not knowing who I am. I hate America. I mean, it's not me, man. This is me right now. This is who I am, just like you, brother. So I don't blame Willie Nelson. I had dinner with Willie Nelson 7 years ago. Dave Mustaine was in town, and he goes, I want to meet Willie Nelson. I went, well, I got his number. Let me call him. Willie Nelson answers, and I'm in the same area of West Austin out in the hill country. And Willie goes, yeah, I'm going to this restaurant. I'm like, now this is a true story. We were going to the same restaurant. It was just some, non-wheat thing, whatever it's called. It was one of those non-gluten restaurants. It later closed. And so we go, we have dinner with him, me, Willie, Dave Mustaine. You can Google, at least for now, Dave Mustaine, Alex Jones, Willie Nelson. We had that last dinner with him. And man, he was drinking red wine. And he was on Captain Kangaroo World. Yeah, there it is. They pulled it up. So that was 7 years ago, right before my divorce. But that's a true story right there. So does that answer your question, buddy?
Yes, it does. I got one more. How do you convince people? Because they're just so brainwashed. They're so dug into the liberals. It just seems like it's impossible.
You know, a lot of people kind of plead with the people that are minions. Oh, I just say, hey, you want to be an idiot? Go ahead and just give them facts and move on and say, here's one piece of info. And later when you decide not to be a loser, you need to look at this information. Then you move on from there. All right, more phone calls straight ahead. Thank you, sir. Carlos, Sonny, Jeff, Mike, Brendan. Jim Hoff is coming up next segment. The UN head has come out and admitted the whole plan is to shut down the U.S. economy. Wait till we cover this. Unbelievable. But let's go ahead and go to this report. Here it is. We're going public. It was in Idaho and New York and California and Mississippi and Texas and Michigan and just everywhere. And these two guys have a whole bunch of clinics across the state. And they're well known and they're telling you stuff you already know is true.
96% of people in California who get COVID recover with almost no significant sequelae or no significant continuing medical problems. COVID-19 is one aspect of our health sector. What has it caused to have us be involved in social isolation? What has it caused that we are seeing the community respond to? Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are secondary effects from COVID. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse. We see people coming in here with black eyes and cuts on their face. It's an obvious abuse case. These are things that will affect them for a lifetime, not for a season. Alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide. I talked to Donnie Youngblood and various people in the community. I've asked them, how are things going? Suicide is spiking. Education has dropped off. Economic collapse. Medical industry, we're all suffering because our staff isn't here and we have no volume. These are all real things that I'm seeing every day. I don't read about this stuff. I'm seeing it in my clinics. We have clinics from Fresno to San Diego, and these things are spiking in our community. These things will affect people for a lifetime, not for a season. And I've talked to, you know, the head of the CDPH. I've gotten their opinion on this, and a lot of the leaders in Sacramento. And we're all in agreement, but we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban.
It's this stuff that'll kill the New World Order, folks. This is real medical information. It's everything you've already heard here. It's everything you always knew. When you were a little kid and got sick, you could be 70 years old. You know, Mama said, go out and get some sun. And then we're told today, arrest people that give hope and say that.
Arresting someone for sitting alone on the beach, tell me how that arrests the spread of the coronavirus from an epidemiological point of view.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to that. I actually don't have the specifics as to why that happened.
The Bill of Rights, as you well know, protects Americans' right, enshrines their right to practice their religion as they see fit and to congregate together, to assemble peacefully. By what authority did you nullify the Bill of Rights in issuing this order? How do you have the power to do that?
That's above my pay grade, Tucker. So I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
COVID-19 is going to be in our lives for at least the next year until there's a vaccine. And we need to figure out a way to get back to as normal of a life as possible while this plays out in the background. The solution is not to lock us into our homes.
Let's see, Thomas Malthus, 260 years ago, said, herd the poor into buildings with no sun so they get the vapors and die, get rid of them. And he's the father of modern eugenics. By the way, anybody can look at what I just said. You can search Malthus, Malthusianism. You'll be like, holy hell. But Jones says some crazy ass stuff. Man, I'm not the crazy person. I'm just telling you what these crazy ass people are up to.
Depopulation should be the highest priority of foreign policy towards the third world. Henry Kissinger, 1974.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Jim Hoff joins us for the next 30 minutes, and then after that, we're going to go to Mike, Brendan, Mike, Jason, Nick, Carlos is up next. Carlos is the next caller, Sonny and Jeff. We're going to talk to one of the top journalists out there in America right now about what's really happening and how bad this depression is about to be. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host here in the third hour. In 30 minutes, we're going to go right to your calls. Jim Hoft is the head of GatewayPundit.com, one of the biggest news sites in the world, not just one of the biggest pro-America sites in the world. We're so glad to have him. He's an author and, again, does great work over there heading up GatewayPundit.com, TheGatewayPundit.com, does he an introduction. And so I want to give him the floor to cover whatever he thinks is important up front. But I look at that USA Today article yesterday saying it's true in their fact check that you get $40,000 for somebody with COVID-19 versus $4,000 without somebody else. It's all incentivized in. They now admit all the models were 30 to 10 times, 10 to 30 times higher than what they said, and that this is not even as bad as the flu. They're just counting other deaths as it. Sure, it's a man-made virus, so that way the Chinese can own the patents to the vaccine. Something's going on there, but Jim Hoff has been at the tip of the spear in the last 12 weeks since this started, and I got to say, has been dead on. So whoever's dead on, that's who we have on. We really appreciate you, Jim.
Hey, Alex, good to be with you. And we do have a couple of stories I'd like to mention right off the bat. One is that this Chinese doctor they call the Bat Lady, that her name is Shi Shengli. I don't think this is getting much press in the United States, but she actually was doing some work here on the East Coast for a few years. She worked with a North Carolina doctor. And what happened was their testing was shut down. So then she went over back to Wuhan at the Wuhan virus lab, where she was running that program there. And around the same time, Alex, we found out that Dr. Fauci and the State Department gave this woman, the Bat Lady, $3.7 million. Now, this was around the time she was, they shut down their program on coronavirus here in the United States, and she fled back to China. I don't know if fled's the right word, but she went back to China. And then we're funding her program over there. It doesn't make much sense. There's also evidence that there were some leaks when she was working on these different, coronavirus projects. And there was one, I'm sure your listeners and your viewers know this, but, a couple of people died, and that was before this year. That was a couple of years ago. So it's just really interesting.
Let's do the set up front. So just recap this. You've been at the cutting edge of exposing the Chinese bioweapon operation. Is this a bioweapon? We don't obviously know, but they are testing bioweapons. You've got arrest of the head of Harvard Biology. What's the best thinking right now on what's really behind this virus?
Yeah, well, I think we know for sure that it was not from one of those wet markets in Wuhan. That has been discredited. That was a Chinese propaganda tool that they used to deflect that this was actually from one of the laboratories in Wuhan. And I think it's pretty clear. And we did some research, Alex, where we have some access to some artificial intelligence that, goes back and looks through the internet and pulls up these articles that were, and when they were published. One article we found was an interview with this Xi Zhengli, this bat lady, where this was from 2017. And she was interviewed there, and she was talking about the work in the laboratory and the coronavirus, and that she had been to the bat caves 900 kilometers away. And so there's a lot of information out there, but the U.S. media has not touched this. And what's interesting, and you know this as well as I do, is, as conservatives know this now, the media, we're in this strange period right now where the media and the tech giants get to tell us what's approved information.
Well, that was my next point. They're openly banning medical doctors coming out saying that the hospitals are empty. They're banning Cedar Sinai, saying light therapy is a real deal. I mean, they're now banning most prestigious institutions out there and parroting Chinese communist propaganda.
Absolutely. We're seeing this over and over. And the best example was last night when Laura Ingraham on the Fox News channel had a couple of these doctors from California on. And as soon as they went off the air, YouTube erased their videos that were out there from the local news in California, and they're just gone. So it's stunning what's happening, and it's very disappointing.
They're not getting rid of things that are disinfo. They're getting rid of real credibility.
Absolutely, and it's very disappointing. I know you know this better than anyone, and that is where the hell are the politicians or the conservatives or anybody who believes in freedom of speech in this country? Why are they silent? Now they're getting worse and worse and worse. What they've done to people like you and Gateway Pundit and other people with just erasing us off the internet. And now they're ramping it up and telling us what we can read about
coronavirus. Well, Jim, you've been censored. I've been censored. But they've moved on from us to medical doctors that are on record giving press conferences. Those are being banned because it doesn't go with the narrative that it's all Trump's fault.
Right. Absolutely.
And then, as you said, I'm not mad at Trump, but I am mad at Trump. What the hell? I mean, are they going to censor the weather report next? I mean, this is like total control.
Absolutely. And it's frightening because, as you know, as we reported on your show first about a month ago now, or over a month, and that was that these numbers that they threw at us were completely ridiculous in early March. They were saying at the time 2 million Americans would die, when the country that had the most deaths at the time, Italy, had like 8,000. How they came up with these ridiculous numbers, they still haven't explained. They haven't apologized. These doctors running the show in Washington, D.C., Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, they still haven't apologized, and they haven't
Well, that's right. All their models were wrong. So what do we do then? What does Trump do? What do you want to say to them?
Well, I think Trump needs to take a big U-turn here. You know, he needs to focus on the economy. That's what scares the hell out of me. I think, as you know, Alex, again, probably better than anyone, the American public today is just absolutely in a panic. There's this underlying panic, and rightfully so, because as people start to wake up and see that these numbers are no worse today than what we've seen it with seasonal flus. We actually had a seasonal flu in 1957-58 that was much worse than what we're seeing with this coronavirus. And the fact that we have these hacks, Fauci and Birx, why are they not emphasizing that these are 75 and 80-year-olds is the target of this virus? Why aren't they emphasizing that?
Oh, they're clearly trying to kill the economy ahead of the election. I mean, now with Facebook, Twitter, Google blocking Cedars-Sinai and medical doctors agreeing with Trump, this is just, now they're blocking medical people. This is like worse than North Korea.
Absolutely. And here's something else. It's not just happening here in the United States. My twin brother, who's been on your show before, he's in Hong Kong. And Alex, listen to this and see if you can make any sense out of this. In Hong Kong, which you literally walk across the hall and you're in China. And I've been there several times to see my brother. We've been into the Chinese mainland there. And they have a total of 4 deaths from coronavirus in a city that is as packed together as you can be. I don't think there's a more densely populated area in the world than Hong Kong and Kowloon, which is across the bay from Hong Kong. And yet they've had four coronavirus deaths. And the Chinese, or whoever is in control, and we know it's the Chinese, they still have this Hong Kong in lockdown, over 4 deaths. They've had 130 flu deaths in that same time period.
Well, that's so it. They're using it as a tool of control, and they're using, most of the studies I've seen show that regular coronavirus, the cold virus or the flu virus, is counting as positive. I mean, even as you mentioned, the scarf lady admits that they count all deaths that test positive as this. So that's what they're doing. This is a medical tyranny against the president.
Absolutely. And we saw that with just New York adding 3,700 deaths out of nowhere. They pulled them out of a hat and threw them in the pile last week. And, you know, and then we saw Pennsylvania trying to sneak in 269 deaths. That was the day after the protest.
Jim Hoff, stay there. In the final segment, I'm going to try to give you the floor to say what you think the president should do, where you think this goes if we don't take action and shut it down. The states are trying to reopen, and they're blaming every death on Trump. This is incredible. This is how the globalists are striking back. Jim Hoff, thegatewaypundit.com, one of the top websites in the world for freedom. When we come back, stay with us. Things are so real, so dangerous, so insane that I've been choking on air. Been on air 26 years. You've seen me choking out because I'm tongue-tied. And Jim Hoff's our guest. Here's one of the chief White House advisors on the economy saying that what was lost in the 2008 recession in just a day, in a month, we're losing every day. Here it is.
Is, and I'm sure that over the next 3 or 4 weeks, everybody's going to pull together and come up with a plan to give us, you know, the best chance possible for a V-shaped recovery. But make no mistake, it's a really grave situation, George. This is the biggest negative shock that our economy, I think, has ever seen. We're going to be looking at an unemployment rate that approaches rates that we saw during the Great Depression. During the Great Recession, remember that was a financial crisis around 2008, that we lost 8.7 million jobs in the whole thing. Right now, we're losing that many jobs about every
week or so. So Jim Hoft, looking at this, obviously this is meant to stall the economy. Bill Maher wanted it. Democrats wanted it. It's blue states, blue cities blocking the economy. How do they think they're going to get away with a worldwide depression they're going to blame on America and Trump?
Yeah, Alex, this is just frightening what we're seeing. And like you just played, they're looking at numbers greater than the Great Depression, these unemployment numbers. It's just absolutely frightening. And I think what people haven't experienced yet, Alex, and you're in tune with this, but There's a lot of people who have lost their businesses. They're losing their jobs. We're seeing these brave hairdressers who are down in Texas and in California who are opening their shops because they don't want to go broke. We had the woman down in Texas said, I have a right in this country to make a living and to feed my children. And really, they should be putting that woman on the air every day because that's what this is about. If something doesn't change soon, we're going to have, 20, 30 million or more out of work? We're going to have all these businesses shut down? It makes no sense. None of this has made any sense. And wait till they figure out that the numbers that that we're seeing right now are not much worse, if at all, than a seasonal flu. I think that the American people are going to be outraged.
Well, Jim Hoff of GatewayPundit.com, that's my point, is they already have Bill Gates, as you know, and all the left on TV blaming Trump when they're the ones that created the stampede and the hysteria and forced Trump into it. They're betting that we have no attention span, like Gruber famously said. I think they're wrong, Jim.
I hope you're right, Alex. I mean, you're the calming voice at this point because everything else is just out of control. It's just crazy.
Yeah, like Alex Jones is everything's okay, and the rest of the media is like, death, it's all over.
Right. I mean, what they've done here, and, you know, it's just amazing to see that there's actually reporters out there who are still, you know, they haven't caught on yet with the real numbers. They haven't looked at these numbers, which, you know, again, we saw last month. It wasn't making sense that they're predicting 2 million dead when, you know, we'd only seen a few thousand dead in the whole world. So I don't know how they get away with this. And, I certainly won't forget. And as long as we have our website, we're not going to forget. And we're going to be pushing the truth. But it looks like the media plan is to just push these lies and then get the tech giants to shut down any voice that is saying something different.
I'm going to play this clip after you're gone and go to calls, but UN chief says pandemic must be used to deindustrialize West, transition to green energy. They've been bragging you. This is AOC's green plan now. This is good for the earth, CNN says.
Unbelievable. And this is the same guy, this UN chief, who also said that this is a good time to start giving universal income to people, you know? So that means, of course, the U.S. has to start funding the whole world. When we don't have the money and we have 30.
And by the way, talk about a Venezuela model. No one can go to work, but there's free stuff coming. The robots aren't running stuff yet, even in some fictitious thing. So what are the leftists trying? They're obviously using a Marxist-Leninist plan of revolution right now, using the virus as the cover. Where do you think this goes?
Well, I think what's going to save us again are the young hairdressers and the business owners out in America who get fed up and realize they have to make some payments soon.
I agree. Look, 3 weeks ago, I was at my haircutter's office at his house just cutting my hair. And everybody I know, my wife gets her lashes and nails done at the lady's house now. It's almost better because they're like cutting out the middlemen. Like, in fact, they're like, I may never go back to the nail or lash place, my wife said. I'll go pay this lady less. She makes more. In a way, it's not actually vertically integrating. It's actually getting rid of the middleman.
Absolutely. I actually had someone come clean our house today. We used to use a service, but now we just hired somebody to come over and clean the house. And so a lot of people are doing this, but I think in the long run, these businesses better wake up or they won't be around. And, you know,
Jim, you get it. It's going to be apps tracking you that an individual wasn't authorized came to your house. I mean, they're announcing the end of free speech. Big tech loves it. This is kind of their coming out and saying, we're going to track you with your phone and make sure you only use big box stores.
Right, absolutely. And we've already seen that the same type of talk right now saying if you have the coronavirus and you're walking around, we're going to warn people around you that you have the coronavirus. I mean, what's preventing them from using this same sort of a system for other things?
Seriously, how about we all just wear yellow stars?
Basically, that's what they're pushing. And it's really shocking that this is happening in America and that more people aren't upset about it.
Well, that's because it's like dodo birds. We're on that island and nobody ever hunted them. So when sailors showed up, they just kill them. We have to build our psychological, political immune system again. and recognize why we don't support the police state, which is not being anti-police, folks. It means we're anti-police state, meaning no due process. Jim Hoff, the 2 minutes we have left, you're covering so many dizzying articles. You're probably, I mean, other than InfoWars, I got to say the number one news site in the world for really cutting edge pro-human stuff. What else is on your front burner right now?
Well, it's interesting. We continue to see the media attack Trump day in and day out. They never learn. Nobody trusts the media today. And even this afternoon or this morning when Trump was with Florida Governor DeSantis, some reporter attacked Trump about the testing in the U.S. and found out that, Dr. Birx corrected this reporter who didn't have his facts straight. And Trump, just blasted the guy from Yahoo. And
we've done more than the whole world. So how are we bad?
Yeah, leave it to the media, Alex, that just makes up these BS arguments and throws them at Trump and tries to see
what's
my
final point. The New York Times last week of all places came out and said the Chinese government's funding the media. Is that not espionage? Like, if you were getting Russian money, I'd call for Jim Hoff's arrest. If I was, arrest Alex Jones. We don't get Russian money. We get American money. But how do these other publications get Chi-Com money? What the hell?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And we're the ones who actually have to fight for every nickel and dime we get because we've been targeted by actually our own government and by these American companies.
Exactly. Gateway Pundit, InfoWars are 100% funded by people. We know that. But now it comes out that all this big media is funded by China. Where's the investigation there?
Right. Absolutely. Something has to happen. But our media, we know that Alex, it's not just that they're biased anymore, but we know that they're just pushing complete lies on the American public.
Exactly. They're not biased. They're lying on purpose, and they're riding the Chi-Com ding-dong. Thank you so much, Jim Hoff. Great job. Call's coming up. Stay well. Thank you, Jim.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home.
Visible. But if you look at the sun, the sky, the fingerprints are on the firmament. If you look at your children and everything is good, you see God's fingerprints. And you see God right there. Look at this. This is my middle daughter right here. And you know, these are the times with the enemy coming in on us. That's her a few years ago. So perfect, so pure. God shines through her. Like a stained glass window. I just can't turn my children over to them because you can lie to yourself all day long. You joined the New World Order, man. You just turned your kids over to hell. And they're so innocent. They're so good. And they're so pure. And they just want to understand the universe. Look how pure she is. Look how good she is. And some will say, oh, you put your daughter on air. You make her a target. She's already a target. She's already under attack by evil, just like every child on this planet. Because she can see God. She has innocence. And they want to corrupt that. They want to steal that. We're not going to let that happen. Because as men, we're not going to back down in the face of evil. Because if we don't do the right thing, we've turned our children over to the worst things in the universe. So I ask you again, are you going to stand with that? Are you going to go along with that? Are you going to submit to that? Like all these trendies? No, I don't think you are. All right, let's finish up with the calls. I really appreciate you holding some of you over an hour and a half. Let's go to Carlos in California. You're on the air. Welcome.
Brother Alex, God bless you, sir, and the crew.
I appreciate you, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. As usual, you are on target. This is a fight between good and evil, sir. This is a spiritual war, which we're fighting it on many levels, but we're not fighting it spiritually. Alex, you say yourself you are a channel. Well, I am a channel as well, sir. I've been given information on how to combat this. I need InfoWars' help to also combat this on a different level. Yes, sir. Well, one of my best friends, he's a 30-year Army vet, Pentecostal pastor. I got all the Pentecostals ready. This something I can't really get on over the air because I don't like telling the enemy what I'm going to do to them.
That's what everybody says.
I got a cousin.
Everybody always overplans it. They always never going to do it. They're always waiting to launch the perfect plan.
Sir, yes, sir. I got a cousin out in Arlington who's a Southern Methodist minister.
Great. What's he doing to fight the globalists? Tell me what you're doing.
Well, first and foremost, it's all about energy at the end of the day. The enemy, like you said, they're bloodsuckers. They want our energy. We don't want to turn over our kids because we're not standing up now on a spiritual level.
We've been put into a trance, the globalists get everything because we're convinced, just submit. No, submission is in a waterfall into hell. We have to stop submitting. Stop turning over to it.
Yes, sir. Now, 2 days from now is the one-year anniversary of my father's death, okay? Now, I have a sister who is under demonic possession. My father suffered for exactly 28 weeks and 2 days, and I know that number because that's another story. We can get into it, God willing, one time. But everything I've saw during my father's suffering is going on right now in the world.
No, you're right. As above, so below, Carlos. God bless you. I appreciate your call, man. All right, Nick in California. Another call from California. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, this is Nick. I was calling about the hospitals and how they're slow.
Yeah, we're not screening your call right now. You're live on air. So, yeah, the hospitals are basically empty. They admit that. They said it was hoax videos. It's all admitted now. It's all a big hoax, yeah.
I'm a maintenance guy, and I worked at Queen Valley Medical in Napa. There was it was slow as could be, and then I called Sutter Medical in Sacramento and asked them how many COVID patients they had. They said they had 6, and I was working on the COVID floor. And not only a third of the people there with the staff are wearing masks around the COVID patients.
Sure, because they know it's a hoax. They know it's the common cold.
Yeah, and it's a hoax. And I have maintenance sheets to prove that I worked at these hospitals like Walnut Creek.
Brother, that's the good news is you don't have to get in trouble to tell the truth now. It's like they're empty. It's come out.
Well, the thing is, I asked about John Muir Medical in Walnut Creek, and I was threatened to be kicked off the job, and they kicked an elevator guy off the job for asking about COVID, because now they're hushing it up, and that was just yesterday, about how many they have.
Well, that's because they get 40, and it's not Trump's fault, but he needs to be informed now. There should be criminal investigations. They get 4,000 for regular federal stuff, 40,000 for COVID. They incentivized it to create the illusion of COVID. And people say, why is it a bioweapon then? Because Bill and Melinda Gates own it. It's synthetic because they have to own it. You understand?
Yes. And I had one more thing to address the president real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take a second. I have a patent for devices that reflect better, temporary devices. And you remember the gas can with the gas nozzle that you said that doesn't work? These devices work that will save lives. And we can bring back manufacturing just on this one first step to 1,000-mile march to bring back temporary devices. I emailed him with Nick Mattia on his White House email several times.
All right. Send me the information. God bless you, brother. All right, let's. I'm glad folks are calling in trying to get a hold of Trump, because you can get a hold of Trump. You just might have to try 100 times. They're trying to catch that big bass. Now I can do it 2 or 3 times to get the president. It's kind of like scary though. I'm going to throw this line in. I got the president on the line. Wow, man! What am I going to say now that I got the president on the line? That's why they're so scared. The president's for real. But what does real mean? Does that mean he's a perfect guy? No. Just means he's not with them. So he's a whole nother fish, whole nother kettle. Mike in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, nice to talk to you, man.
Nice to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to test what you said. I can always consider myself a true patriot, but I really didn't give a crap what the hell was going on until I had a daughter. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, everything you say about your kids and your daughters, man, that's true. But real quick, I work in the food industry, not in the processing, but in the production part. All of our machines go to Tyson, Smithfield, Purdue, all the big names.
There's only four ago. And they're all trying to shut things down on purpose. What are you saying?
From the front lines, we have multiple machines not going to Tyson. We have multiple machines not going to Purdue. We had to lay off half of our staff here because the work is not here. And any work that is being done, it is outsourced. A lot of work from China coming over. It's really...
Well, that's exactly what we broke down, Amanda. Exactly. So it's just a shutdown of America. It's like American industry shut down, China's open. The big corporations said, hey, we've invested in China. We got to deal with them. Americans are getting uppity. Hey, don't worry. We'll shut them down, and China's open. How diabolical is that, brother?
It's sad.
But you're personally witnessing this, because what you're saying is confirmed in the news that China's shipping everything into us now, our chicken, our poultry, our beef, our pork. This is a total setup.
Everything. Let me tell you something here. No matter what your political view is here at this plant, what God you pray to, everybody sees it and everybody knows what's going on. It's good to see people are realizing it. But
Mike, don't hang up. I'm going to come back to you after break and give you part of the next segment, because I've got all the articles here that the poultry, the pork, the beef, the fisheries, they're all shutting down. But don't worry. They're shipping beef in from Africa. We've never taken beef from Africa. Beef from South America, beef from Central America, beef from Asia, because we're shut down. They're like, Trump, you think you're opening America up? Watch this, bitch. We're going to shut your ass down. They did it. You like being gang raped like this? Let me tell you, everybody involved in this should have a trial, and then I'll pull the lever to hang their ass. I remember a long time ago.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Consciousness is an ocean, but memory is individualism. I saw the lay of the land a long time ago, but I didn't realize what happened after you went over the mountains. But I've gone over the mountains. And I can tell you, it's just what you got told. Bible's dead on. In fact, it's so dead on, it's unbelievable we'd be given something like that to warn us, but why not? God gives us free will, but then God feels so guilty putting his children into something like this. It just hopes we're there on the other side. But I understand the purity of it. You can't give people power and the keys to the universe without allowing them to be tested. I want to finish up with some phone calls here before Paul Watson takes over. But look at this headline. UN chief says pandemic must be used to deindustrialize the West. When you see words like deindustrialize, think billions dead. That's what that means. And look at this old boy of your TV viewer. Does he look like anybody you trust? Does he look like he's going to build a planet? No, he looks like he's a follower, doesn't he? We have a rare and short window of opportunity to rebuild our world for the better by killing everybody. Carbon is what makes the plants and animals live. But they teach you that that's a problem, but their 5G, their genetic engineering, their wars, their uranium plants are good. These are sick people. But see, they don't have an energy, so they attract evil. So we wonder, like, why are all these powerful people attracted to evil? They're not powerful. They just coalesce at one point, because good people are all, like, free and, like, don't want power because you already have the power. Somebody connected to God doesn't want power because you've already got all the power. You don't look for something you already have. Like if you got plenty of water in the desert, you're like not looking for water because you're not thirsty. The people that want power are looking for it because they don't got it. I mean, the old joke is Alex Jones says, I'm not bragging. Look, I'm not bragging. I got plenty of power. I wanted to be nasty and manipulate stuff. I wanted to kill somebody or beat their ass or do a business deal. I can do it. I know how to do it. But because I've got the power, I'm not trying to screw people over because I already got it. That's why you got to learn the people that you think you can trust because you're trying to build them up. A lot of times they're the biggest problem because then they get in the power structure. They try to cut you out of things because you're actually trying to build people up and they don't want that. They're not empowered when they see other people doing good. I've been around so many executives and they go, you pay your employees this much? No one does that. Not even Los Angeles. Well, are you crazy? Well, no, I want them to have good lives. Well, they don't care about you. Well, whatever. I metaphysically think that that's how I should treat my people. So like in most management, there's this elitism that you put people down, you get more powerful. Instead of, I'm already so powerful, I'm going to raise everybody up. But see, between those two points is where you find reality. Because you can look at both views. But the view that people are crap to be used and can't be trusted, well, you build what you just were trying to get away from. So I'll take a few calls in this segment, the next. Let's go ahead and go to Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on the air. Thanks for rolling.
Yeah, thanks again for having me hold on over the break.
I appreciate you. Go ahead and finish your point. You're a food industry worker, and you're in the food supply chain, and what you're witnessing.
Complete crumble. Not to go off of what you say, man, but it's collapsing right in front of my eyes, very slowly, which I think is intentional.
Well, it took a long time to build it. Takes a long time to kill it.
Yes, and I particularly work in the logistics part of it. And, the truck drivers I talk to, UPS, FedEx, they got no packages on their trucks. They don't know whether they're going to come back the next day or what.
That's because that economy's still there. They're going to come in with their corporate bailout. But see, to get the money, the taxpayer money, you've got to have the globalists run it. So they already, with their AI, scanned the networks. They're just banning the networks they don't control. See how that works?
Yes, I do.
But you said something really important. You said, left or right, everybody knows it, don't they?
I work black, white, Asians, any. I work with everybody. This is a very liberal company. So I work with women, men. There's a bunch of people in this plant, and everybody sees it. When those conversations get brought up.
So they need to remember, Mike, who did this to them. For generations, they need to, like, when they see all this depression come, they need to remember who did it. Does that make sense? Because remembering who did it means you don't follow their orders the next time. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, I try to spread the word, man, but, like a lot of your callers say, man, how do you wake people up? It's sometimes it seems like it just needs to happen for people to wake the hell up because, the amazing job you're doing, man, it's not reaching everybody. It's not your fault. Just people want to resist it. They can't handle it.
But you said in general that they get that it's a screw job.
They get it. They get it. When we found out Smithfield was bought by China, there's a good amount of people saying we're going to walk the hell out of here. It ain't right. They're taking advantage of when everyone's down because everybody's getting impacted from this, whether it's a political party.
Remember, it's not even a Chinese takeover. It's a globalist takeover. God bless you, brother. The average American wants to lazily go in and buy a side of pork or a side of beef when before it would take years of feeding a cow and years of having it breed and have an extra cow you could eat. It was like a big deal. And every piece of meat you enjoyed, but now it's like, whatever. So now they don't care where it comes from, so they lose their soul. Sonny in Indiana. Sonny, thanks for holding her on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I want to God bless you and your crew and their families and all the patriots out there that have been listening to you and saw this all coming.
God bless you, Si.
I just wanted to kind of point out some of the things that had taken place as far as the Chinese takeover in our country for a long time. They own all of the entertainment. Like, they've been putting us all into a comatose state for decades. And they own, like, all the video games and just every bit of entertainment they have.
They own the debt. They own, you know, exactly.
What's that?
No, you're right. They own the debt. They own everything.
And then another part of that is something that I read a while back about the governors. There was a U.S.-China governors conference in Louisville, Kentucky, and that was last Memorial Day weekend, 2019. And sorry, I'm working shortly after that. There was another thing that came up from Pompeo in February of this year that warned the governors that China was basically keeping tabs on them.
Well, no, they actually bought off most of the governors, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And
but
so,
see, here's the thing, Sonny. You're upset. That's a normal thing. So you're an early warning system. You care. So you're upset. I don't want you to be, I'm the same way. But that strength, your voice tremulating and that's like the alarm, like a woman concerned is like powerful. Like, I just feel powerful hearing your voice concerned. That's like a bell that you ring that, Sonny. The men will respond. Do you see that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I feel it. And it's so
good.
And you know, you post stuff and try and reach out to people, but ultimately it's going to be them and God that comes to terms with what's really happening. Nobody else can open their eyes to that.
You're right, Sonny. You just said it. Beautifully said. Jeff, Brendan, and Mike, final calls before Paul Joseph Watson takes over. This is the InfoWar. Segment ends and Paul Watson takes over. Let's talk to Jeff in Missouri. Jeff, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, I'm going to talk about fathers and children and that beautiful book called The Bible. I would like to read, because this is really on point and it's going to give every father his marching orders. Exodus chapter 22, verses 22, 23, and 24. Ye shall not afflict any fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any way, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you. It is the most beautiful piece of scripture. I love it.
Now, no, it's true. If we call on God, God will. But it has to be pure of heart. You're absolutely right.
Fatherless children, and that's an important point. Now, you've been demonstrating a lot of anxiety about the possibility of your children becoming fatherless soon. Now, I have the same anxiety. I have three young children. I'm a single parent. I'm 64 years old, visually impaired, and I have three young children here. Now, I teach my children every day that should something happen to me, I'm still able to protect them, and that when they cry out, they cry out to me, their earthly father, and my duty is to protect them. Now, when they become fatherless, I teach them every day, cry out to Jesus if you get into a tough spot, if I'm not here, if I'm gone, cry unto God, unto Jesus. He will hear, and he will kill those who are afflicting you. It's important to look carefully at this verse. Now, I want to turn to the French Revolution real quick. In the decades leading up to the French Revolution, children are being swept off the streets of Paris and disappeared into the aristocracy and the royalty, and they're being used for their purposes. Their blood was very valued, and all that goes with child abduction. and Satanists, which is what the royalty and aristocracy had become in France. Now, they were picking up the orphans on the street and the urchins and that kind of thing, but when they ran short of children on the street, the police, they were doing all the child confiscation. When they ran short on children, they began taking children who had fathers who were working and mothers in intact homes. They started taking those children. When the fathers tried to intervene, they were arrested and hung for getting in the way. Now, so I'm telling you, if you try to get in the way and protect your children, you may just leave your children fatherless. But then we have the victory. When those children cry unto Jesus, it says right here, I will hear, my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you, meaning the one who is afflicting. This is an important verse, and every man now with children has their marching orders. Teach your children that if you are, if they become fatherless, that they are to cry unto Jesus, but they must be told that now. One other thing about women getting involved, the French had spies all over the place around Paris, and there's a quote from a lawyer's diary here. Our women, meaning the ordinary French woman, our women will go to Versailles. This is what the women were saying. The spies are picking it up. Our women will go to Versailles to dethrone the king and tear his eyes out. Okay, that's women getting, you know, involved there. Anyway, Alex, I've said a piece here, and I'm a...
No, it's all about killing our children. It's all about a satanic energy attacking the human operation, and people better decide which side they're on. God bless you. All right, I'm sorry to Brendan and Mike. I got to go. If you get their name and number, we'll call them back tomorrow, and I appreciate you to come on the show then. And we fund ourselves the products at InfoWarsStore.com. We want to stay here and get them, plus the great products. Who knows how long you can even get them, so I suggest you get them. But these are the times to try men's souls. This is, we're on a planet in deep space, folks. You don't think we just live here and, like, be in peace? No, there's bad stuff, but God's given us a way to counter it and deal with it. So Paul Joseph Watson's taking over InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com. If you don't share those links and articles, who will? There's a reason YouTube banned those doctors in California talking about the COVID being an exaggerated hoax. This is powerful and it's true. Videos at InfoWars.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
Go. Ton of news to cover. A lot of questions still remain about what is the new normal, because we were told that we needed to go through all this social distancing, all this upset in the economy, deaths in terms of poverty, people not being able to go into hospital to get treatment, a range of other serious illnesses aside from COVID-19, which according to some experts will actually cause more excess deaths than total COVID-19 deaths over the next 5 years. So it begs the question, why did we go through all this at all? The whole point was to get back to normal. Now they're saying, you're never going to get back to the old normal. This is the new normal. What is the new normal? Well, very interesting article that went up on Summit.News about an hour ago. Headline, Chief Public Health Officer of Canada appeared in 2010 documentary to advocate tracking bracelets for vaccine refuseniks. Now, we've seen the rapid advancement of surveillance technologies. It applies to tracking potential coronavirus sufferers. Of course, we had the video last week of the social distancing surveillance cameras, which will alert people when they're standing too close to other people. No doubt in the future, they'll be linked in with our Chinese communist-style social credit score accounts and will be punished for not socially distancing enough. Well, over in Canada, Canada's current chief public health officer, she wasn't the chief public health officer when this documentary was made. She is now. And in fact, she's the face, or at least one of the faces, of Canada's response to coronavirus. This is Theresa Tam. And I'll tell you a little bit more about her in a second. But this is her appearance. Listen very carefully to what she says. In a 2010 National Film Board of Canada documentary entitled Outbreak, Anatomy of a Plague, first listen to what she says about what will happen in the aftermath of a virus outbreak, specifically in terms of to people who refuse a vaccine, then listen to the context of what happens to people after that. Here's the clip from this 2010 Canadian documentary. Roll it.
I think the public has to know this is one of the worst case scenarios in terms of an infectious disease outbreak, in that their cooperation is sought. If there are people who are non-compliant, there are definitely laws and public health powers that can quarantine people in mandatory settings. It's potential you could track people, put bracelets on their arms, have police and other setups to ensure quarantine is undertaken. It is better to be preemptive and precautionary and take the heat of people thinking you might be overreactionary, get ahead of the curve, and then think about whether you've overreacted later. But it's such a serious situation that I think decisive early action is the key.
Police checkpoints are set up on all the bridges, and everyone leaving the city is required to show proof of vaccination. Those who refuse to cooperate are taken away to temporary detention centers.
Well, there you have it. That was from a 2010 Canadian documentary featuring Canada's current chief public health officer, Theresa Tam, saying that people will be forced to have vaccinations if they refuse them. They'll be tagged with electronic surveillance bracelets. This is the face of Canada's response to the coronavirus, which is why this clip is recircling on Twitter today. Another interesting thing about Theresa Tam is that not only has she become the face of their coronavirus response, she's in all the adverts being played on television, the public service announcements, again, encouraging social distancing. But she was one of the officials who, right back at the start of this pandemic, before it was announced as a pandemic, was playing it down, which we saw in numerous other instances. Of course, no bigger instance than the World Health Organization itself, which God forbid any of us would criticize, because that's not allowed now, in terms of how they downplayed the coronavirus, not only downplayed it in terms of the WHO, but conspired with China to cover it up and silence their own doctors from advising countries to close their borders weeks and weeks earlier than any of them did. While, of course, the WHO was saying, don't close your borders, don't initiate any kind of proper screening at airports, because that's stigmatization and that might upset Chinese people. So again, we have an official who downplayed the severity of coronavirus. Now, in the aftermath of a lot of evidence that in many countries the curve has flattened, and in fact these lockdown measures now need to be ended because will eventually cause more deaths than lives saved, she's one of the ones exploiting the fear of coronavirus again to introduce these kind of measures. And if she's talking about the kind of measures that she talked about in that 2010 documentary clip from the National Film Board of Canada, that's a very frightening prospect indeed. In fact, on April 23rd, she was appointed by Justin Trudeau, this is from the article, to be a member of the COVID-19 Immunity Task Force, despite having previously asserted there was, quote, no reason to be overly concerned about coronavirus back in January. Why was she saying that? Well, why was Ted Ross of the WHO and a bunch of other health officials saying the same thing? Because they were amplifying Chinese Communist Party propaganda. They were mouthpieces for the CCP. Then as late as January 29th, bearing in mind that we know there was human-to-human transmission of coronavirus in China back in November, and they covered it up since then, as late as January 29th, Theresa Tam, the chief public health officer of Canada, told Canadians it's going to be rare, but we're expecting cases. So again, she was downplaying it as late as January 29th. And yet here in this clip from 10 years ago, she's suggesting the most draconian measures imaginable to stop people who, God forbid, refuse to have a vaccine. Now, in terms of the vaccine, they're saying 80 different groups around the world are working on a vaccine. It's going to take a year or more. Of course, a lot of experts say there is no effective vaccine against any of these COVID coronavirus diseases. So what would be the point? Very interesting question. I haven't taken a vaccine since I was a child. Certainly never taken a flu vaccine. Not going to take one now. But what is the new normal? How's it going to play out? You're going to have the vaccine to travel across interstate lines? Are you going to have the vaccine to travel internationally? You're going to have the vaccine to even go outside, to operate, to buy and sell, unless you take the mark. And I think the listeners of this show are very aware as to what that means. Meanwhile, also in Canada, this just went up on summit.news earlier too, Canadian man has quarantine fine increased to $1,255 for walking his dog. This is a 72-year-old man in Ontario who, again, an absolute cretin. He took his little pooch down the stairs of his apartment block to walk it outside in the parking lot behind his apartment block for 10 minutes. He goes back upstairs to his unit in his apartment block, who's waiting for him. Two police officers who hit him with a fine of $880 for, quote, breaching a COVID-19 safety precaution. But that wasn't the end of the story. As I articulate in this article, after a rebel media contacted Sarnia police, visited their headquarters in an effort to obtain a comment, a journalist from rebel media, McHenry received a second visit from the cops. He said, I had a knock on my door. It was a very loud knock. And I knew intuitively that it was the police because nobody knocks on your door that loud. And again, why is any of this happening? Because people are snitching on their neighbors, ratting them out. That's the kind of society that we're creating amidst this social distancing tyranny. One of the officers told McHenry he had good news for the 72-year-old. His original $880 fine had been withdrawn. But then sardonically, he immediately presented McHenry with a new $1,225 fine for violating the Quarantine Act. $1,225 fine for walking his dog in a parking lot. And the increase of that fine purely is based on, according to the report of Rebel Media, the police being vindictive over the fact that it got media attention. Don't go away. Much more coming up. Summit.news. We'll be back.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.news.
Now, we're going to get to Tucker Carlson's comments from last night about reopening society, trying to end this economic devastation which has already been caused by the lockdown. And that is a message of great importance coming from him because, again, he was one of the people at the start who said, no, this is going to be worse than the flu. And in fact, reports suggest that Carlson drove to Mar-a-Lago to warn Trump that he wasn't taking it seriously enough. So when somebody like Tucker Carlson says, okay, we adhered to your lockdown for weeks and weeks and weeks, we adhered to your social distancing. Now the evidence suggests that that lockdown had negligible effect on the actual death rates. If you look at other countries which didn't lock down their entire economies, the fact that he's saying that makes a big deal because he didn't downplay it from the very beginning. So we're going to get to that clip probably in the next segment. But I want to go through this article from a few days ago because this is one of the crucial underpinning reasons as to why this lockdown now needs to be eased across the world. It is a headline out of Summit News. Professor warns cancer deaths due to COVID disruption will be greater than deaths from coronavirus. And to make this clear, that's not total cancer deaths over the next 5 years. It's excess cancer deaths of lives that would have been saved had these people been able to go into hospital and get cancer screenings and cancer treatment, because many, many of them are not able to do that as a result primarily of fear over coronavirus. And in fact, government suggesting that people should not visit hospital unless basically they're about to die. In many cases, that's the spirit of the message that was communicated early on, because we were told that hospitals would be completely overwhelmed by coronavirus. Turns out that was not the case, at least in the United Kingdom, and in fact, in many of the countries. Now, this is a professor at King's College London, Richard Sullivan, who warned that there will be more excess cancer deaths. Again, that's excess in addition to ones that would have happened anyway over the next 5 years than the number of people total who will die from coronavirus in the UK due to the disruption caused by the coronavirus lockdown, which is preventing cancer victims from getting treatment. And only in the past couple of days, in fact, I think it's today or yesterday, the UK government, because of this debate being pushed to the forefront, is finally now saying, yes, if you suspect you may have cancer, you need to go in immediately for a screening and you need to go in for your treatment. But this is a debate that was raging behind the scenes for the past couple of weeks, now with the UK government only just addressing it really publicly. Richard Sullivan, professor of cancer and global health and director of the Institute of Cancer Policy, said, quote, "The number of deaths due to the disruption of cancer services is likely to outweigh the number of deaths from coronavirus itself over the next 5 years." Again, because people are avoiding hospitals. They're saying they're adhering to the advice that they should stay away, at least they have been doing over the past month, so as not to burden doctors and nurses. Routine cancer screenings have all but stopped, and there will be a massive backlog once normality resumes. So even now they're telling people that they can go back in. The weight of the backlog is still going to delay people from getting that cancer treatment, and that's going to kill people. He went on to say the cessation and delay of cancer care will cause considerable avoidable suffering. Cancer screening services have stopped, which means we will miss our chance to catch many cancers when they are treatable and curable, such as cervical, bowel, and breast. Again, point is people didn't stop getting cancer treatment when the coronavirus outbreak started, but now they're not getting treatment. They didn't stop needing cancer treatment, but now they're not getting it. Daily Mail also reported some stroke and heart attack patients are routinely waiting more than 2 hours for an ambulance, while 2,300 cancer diagnoses are being missed each week just in the UK because patients are not going to see their GP or because they're not being referred for urgent tests and scans at hospitals. Goes on to say another 400 cancers a week are being missed because breast, cervical, and bowel cancer screening has been suspended. So it's not like they're just not going in. They're being told, you're not going to get this treatment because we're going to be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed, really. 4 times emptier hospital beds in terms of acute hospital beds in the United Kingdom during this coronavirus outbreak. And that was reported by HSC, which is the authority on hospital treatment in the United Kingdom. So the acute hospital beds across the country are 4 times emptier than normal. The overspill hospitals, they built an overspill hospital in London, these Nightingale hospitals, is barely being used. They built another overspill hospital in the northeast to deal with excess coronavirus victims. They're now saying that not only is it not being used, it probably will never be used and that they're going to close it down. And again, despite all this, the UK government has refused to even suggest when lockdown measures may end. They're not even having that conversation with the British public, despite other European countries having already given exact dates on when everything will open, including, I know, even today in France, where they're saying a lot of stuff is going to open on May 11th. Our government in the UK is refusing to even have that conversation about an exit strategy with the British public, despite the fact that many people are avoiding hospital for very serious illnesses, not getting treatment, and it's going to cause, according to this professor of cancer, going at much of a higher authority than that, more excess cancer deaths in the UK than total coronavirus deaths over the past 5 years. Now, we've had this debate about Sweden. Of course, Sweden, they actually made the right decision. Like that's almost unprecedented. We're talking about Sweden making the right decision on a public policy issue. They refused to lock down their economy. They did take some measures to encourage social distancing, but bars, restaurants, many of the shops remained open, at least to some extent. If you compare the graph of the death rates when Sweden's lower population per capita is accounted for, Sweden has the same death rate as the UK. We locked down everything. They didn't. The death rate is almost exactly the same. You look at the graph in this article, it tracks almost exactly the same. Obviously, Sweden is going to get back on its feet quicker. People in Sweden, because their hospitals are also not overwhelmed, are able to get treatment for serious ailments. heart attack victims, stroke attack victims are able to get into hospital, are able to get ambulances to a far greater degree than in England and the United Kingdom. And again, a lot of experts saying, of course, that Sweden is now way closer to herd immunity. Meanwhile, we're being told that we're going to have to wait, in some cases, maybe a year for this vaccine, which I'm sure is totally risk-free, right? Before any of this is rescinded, before any of this is actually properly eased, and that the new normal will be lockdown light for the next year, which will only hamstring our economy, lead to more misery, lead to more suicide, lead to more unemployment, lead to more poverty, which of course factors in and leads to more deaths. But at least finally, over the past couple of days, the British government has come out and said, yes, if you need urgent cancer screenings, urgent cancer treatment, you need to go into hospital. And they probably had to do it because of these TikTok videos of nurses dancing, which kind of proved that the hospitals were not being overwhelmed. We're going to get into that in the next segment. We're also going to get into Tucker Carlson now saying that these lockdown measures need to end, and they need to end quickly. Summit.news, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.news studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, the head of the World Health Organization, Mr. Tedros, whose name is basically unpronounceable, so I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it, says that the world should have listened to the WHO, despite the fact that the WHO, for weeks on end, amplified Chinese fake news propaganda that the coronavirus outbreak was really no big deal. Of course, now we know from US intelligence reports that they almost certainly lied about the death toll. Of course, claimed it was around 3,000 deaths in China. It's actually probably nearer to 40,000 deaths. We're going to get onto that article here in a minute. First of all, Tucker Carlson, though, gave a great monologue on his Fox News show last night. And again, Carlson was one of the people at the start who was not downplaying coronavirus, unlike the Chinese, unlike the WHO, to the extent that he drove to Mar-a-Lago to warn Trump that he was not taking it seriously enough. Well, now Tucker Carlson, given the death rates, given this social distancing lockdown, given the threat that the lockdown itself will cost more lives, more economic turmoil, more poverty, more unemployment if we don't lift it, has somewhat changed his tune. We're going to go to that clip. Here it is.
Here's a physician and researcher from California called Dr. Dan Erickson. Erickson and a partner just delivered a 50-minute briefing on the latest numbers from California. The video they made has been viewed millions of times in a few days online. The bottom line is, after looking carefully at the data, these two researchers have concluded that California should end its shelter-in-place order. Watch.
We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California with a possible incidence or prevalence of 4.7 million. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California. 0.03 chance of dying from COVID in the state of California. Does that necessitate sheltering in place? Does that necessitate shutting down medical systems? Does that necessitate people being out of work?
These are serious people who've done this for a living for decades. They have in their hands the largest currently available data sets on this question. And the question they're asking after analyzing all of those numbers, are the lockdowns worth it? So what is the answer to that? What's so striking is that so many politicians, the ones enforcing the lockdowns, don't seem at all interested in asking it. Instead, they're bullying forward as if nothing has changed. Just today, the San Francisco Bay Area announced it'll be extending its lockdown until the end of May. That's 5 weeks from now. What is the scientific justification for doing that? They didn't tell us. Because there is none. None. You may remember what they first told us back in February and March. They said, we have to take radical steps in order to, quote, flatten the curve. Well, 6 weeks later, we're happy to say that curve has been flattened. But it's likely not because of the lockdowns. The virus just isn't nearly as deadly as we thought it was. All of us, including on this show, everybody thought it was. But it turned out not to be. Hospitals never collapsed. Outside of a tiny number of places, they never came close to collapsing at least not from an influx of infected patients. Instead, something remarkable happened, something amazing, really without parallel in American history. The opposite happened. Thanks to the lockdowns, hospitals have begun to collapse. Why? From a lack of patients. Politicians who couldn't pass ninth grade biology decided that practicing physicians should not be allowed to calculate the risk of transmitting the virus. They're just not qualified, unlike us. So these politicians banned so-called non-essential procedures, many of which are in fact essential. The results of this policy? In many hospitals, entire floors have been mothballed. Doctors and nurses are being furloughed in the middle of a pandemic. This is insanity. It weakens our healthcare system. Its effects will last for many years. That's all from the lockdown. So how long will we have to live with these lockdowns? Earlier this month, Dr. Anthony Fauci, whom we are apparently required by law to respect no matter what he says, suggested that, in fact, we may never be allowed to resume normal life.
If back to normal means acting like there never was a coronavirus problem, I don't think that's going to happen until we do have a situation where you can completely protect the population. If you want to get to pre-coronavirus, you know, that might not ever happen in the sense of the fact that the threat is there.
And we should tell you that is the same Dr. Fauci, and keep this to yourself because, as noted, it's not allowed to show any skepticism whatsoever. But that's the same Dr. Fauci who also announced that shaking hands, the ancient custom of shaking hands, should be done away with forever. And then a week later told Snapchat that actually it's fine to have sex with strangers you meet on Tinder. That was his epidemiological advice. Other experts on television warned that full-blown lockdowns may be necessary until a vaccine or effective treatments are found. What they didn't mention is that scientists have never produced a single approved vaccine or antiviral drug for any coronavirus. So that could be a while. And that thought seemed to please frequent television guest Zeke Emanuel.
Realistically, COVID-19 will be here for the next 18 months or more. We will not be able to return to normalcy until we find a vaccine or effective medications. Is all that economic pain worth trying to stop COVID-19? The truth is, we have no choice.
Oh, the truth is we have no choice. Well, here's a handy guide for you in case you watch a lot of television. When a political operative like Zeke Emanuel, someone with a long history of lying, begins a sentence with the phrase, "The truth is," you should probably be on guard. When he ends that sentence with, "We have no choice," you should be terrified. And in fact, that's wrong. We have always had a choice. Other countries made different choices from ours, in fact. They're not waiting for a vaccine to open their societies. Why would they do that? There's no precedent for doing that as a scientific matter. For example, we spent millions of dollars and more than a decade trying to find a vaccine for the SARS virus. Scientists never developed one. That's a shame. But did we halt life in the United States in response? We didn't. In fact, you may not even remember that any of that happened. The striking thing is the science has not changed that much since then. Unfortunately, American politics have changed a lot. And that's the difference.
That's Tucker Carlson. Of course, the video he played at the beginning of that monologue was the two doctors questioning the logic of continuing lockdown measures. The video that was summarily deleted by YouTube after garnering 5 million plus views because we're not allowed to question health authorities. Health authorities like the WHO, whose leader, Mr. Ted Ross, said yesterday, the world should have listened to the WHO. Despite its complicity in helping China cover up the severity of the coronavirus pandemic, the head of the World Health Organization claimed the world should have listened to the WHO. The sheer inaccuracy of these statements would be funny if not for the fact that lives were lost due to the WHO's mishandling of the outbreak. At every step of the way, the WHO praised China's actions on coronavirus despite widespread evidence that the virus was leaked from a lab. And in fact, the sources who told Fox News confirmed that it was leaked from that lab said that the WHO was complicit in helping China cover it up. Of course, on January 14th, as I've mentioned many times, the WHO amplified Chinese government propaganda that there had been, quote, no human-to-human transmission of COVID-19, despite this having actually occurred back in November. The WHO blocked doctors from urging countries to impose border controls to stop the spread of coronavirus and repeatedly told countries not to close borders. I report on their statements every single few days. They repeated the same mantra. Don't close your borders. Don't impose any kind of screening which targets Chinese people, because that might be racist. These are the people now saying, you should have listened to us. No, we shouldn't have listened to you. We should have done the exact opposite, because you were complicit in covering up the spread of this virus with the communist Chinese government. Right up until the end of February, the WHO continued to advise against the app. This is their quote from their statement, to advise against the application of travel or trade restrictions to countries experiencing COVID-19 outbreaks, even as all those thousands, tens of thousands of Chinese migrants were flying from Wuhan to northern Italy, the epicenter of the outbreak in Europe. No, you got it wrong. You covered it up with China. We should not have listened to you. Going to wrap it up this segment. We'll be back. Summit.news. Don't go away.
Broadcasting internationally from the Summit.news headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
And we are back. And ABC News just tweeted a video on their official Twitter account about an hour ago. It says, a nurse received a rousing applause from her neighbors as they gathered to cheer for her on her way to work in Maryland. Now, this entire idol worship of nurses and health workers has obviously gone too far. That's not to blame the nurses, the doctors, or the health workers, whose job is obviously incredibly important and incredibly stressful. This entire narrative about idol worship of nurses has been predicated on not being allowed to question health authorities. We've seen that with social media, with YouTube deleting videos from actual doctors questioning other health authorities. But that's why they launched this cultural narrative of the nurse worship, the idol worship, to the point where they now have scarecrows in British villages and towns dressed up as NHS workers with the full masks, the gloves, the PPE that supposedly in a severe shortage, but they're using it to put on scarecrows, which are then positioned at people's front gates. So again, idol worship, literally idol worship the NHS. Because as you know, we have every week in the United Kingdom at 8 p.m. on Thursday, the entire country gets out on their balconies and applauds the NHS. And now it's got to the point where people who not refuse to do that, but just forget to do that, are being publicly shamed on social media. In fact, we had the article last week, UK mother named and shamed on Facebook for not clapping the NHS. This was somebody who was having problems with her child, trying to get him to bed. He was acting out. So she finally got her child to bed. She fell asleep before 8 p.m. when this big clapathon happens every week. And because she failed to take part, again, not because she didn't want to, she simply fell asleep and forgot about it. The next day, she was publicly shamed on Facebook with her entire community finding out about it. Very, very strange. Idol worship of nurses. But again, it's a narrative that's been pushed by health authorities and by the media to make it verboten to criticize health authorities. To the point where we had this article last week on Friday, headline, nurses at hospital in Paris recreate Last Supper with themselves as Jesus and his apostles. So they literally reenacted Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper painting with themselves playing the part of Jesus and his apostles. This was the Hospital de la Salpêtrière in Paris. And they captioned it, huge thanks to our daily heroes. A big up to the care team of the cardiac surgery unit of CHU in this Paris hospital, literally depicting themselves as Jesus and his apostles, as if the idol worship was not bad enough. Now, if you don't like me criticizing that, well, why not listen to the families of cancer victims who are not getting treatment, as I explained earlier in the show, because they're either fearful of catching coronavirus when they visit hospital, or they're being told their screenings, their treatments have been suspended. So they're not going to hospital. Of course, the Professor Sullivan warned that this would cause more excess cancer deaths than total coronavirus deaths in the UK over the next 5 years. The families of these cancer patients have spoke out against this bizarre idol worship of health workers also, and in particular with these TikTok dancers, which thankfully, since people started to question this, that it was not great optics to tell the population that we needed to lock down, to social distance, to upheave our lives for the best part of the next year, we're now being told, and we may never get back to normal because of the overwhelmed hospitals, because we need to support the doctors and nurses. Meanwhile, they're dancing around with giant smiles on their face and uploading these videos to TikTok. Not great optics. Nobody's saying that you can't, you know, relieve some stress. That's not the point. The point is this does not send the right message. I wrote about this in the article. Disrespectful. Families of cancer patients slam nurse dancing videos. There's families of cancer patients whose loved ones are not able to receive treatment in hospitals because of the coronavirus pandemic have slammed videos which show nurses dancing as disrespectful. And in fact, if I can find the quote, this was from a nurse, I believe, or the family member of a nurse. She said, "I'm seriously peed off seeing NHS staff dancing and fooling around. My brother is working 14-hour days in an ICU in London treating COVID-19 patients. My sister is still performing surgery, is separated from her son. Cancer patients are having treatment and scans cancelled." She says, "I've seen it from several different hospitals." And again, this is not just the UK, obviously. This is in America too, and Spain and Italy and France. "It's so disrespectful when there are so many ill and dying. Imagine someone who has just lost a loved one seeing these dumb videos." And in fact, I received numerous messages on Twitter, on comments from nurses who agree with me and who agree with these families of cancer patients. So again, it's not an offense against NHS staff. It's not an insult towards them to question the tastefulness of these TikTok dancing videos. In fact, there is another doctor who said, quote, "I'm a doctor and I'm really sick of this constant praise and virtue signaling for healthcare workers." He said, "Hospitals are empty due to lack of elective cases and severe drop in trauma and emergency cases. Yet we keep hearing about this hospitals being overwhelmed nonsense. Yet healthcare workers somehow find time, despite being so overwhelmed, to do their cringy TikTok videos. A lot of hospitals are actually struggling to stay open because their main sources of income are from elective cases and admissions. So it's actually costing them economically in the long term." So we have that going on. We have people being shamed for forgetting to clap in the UK for the NHS every Thursday night. And of course, we have YouTube censoring the viral video of the doctors criticizing the stay-at-home order. We also have this article out of Reclaim the Net. YouTube introduces fact-checker info panels to editorialize user search results. Of course, you know already on YouTube, they've completely gamed their search engine and the entire algorithm to the point where you type in any search term basically that's vaguely news-related, and you get a wall of 50, 60 CNN, ABC, CBS articles before you get to anything else. Well, now YouTube is continuing its war on misinformation by rolling out panels containing messages from fact checkers, who, of course, have been proven partisan and biased on numerous occasions, to search results on the platform. Panels have been tested in Brazil and India throughout 2019 and show up when a user searches for a topic that YouTube deems to be problematic. And at this point, that's basically everything. So now, not even when you get to the video, of course, many of which have warnings on, you go on a video about global warming, it indoctrinates you about how man-made global warming is beyond question, of course. Now they're so nervous about people hearing any other opinion, they're putting it in the search box before you even get to any of the results. Meanwhile, Facebook admits banning users for saying they're proud to be English. Because we had St. George's Day a couple of days ago here in the United Kingdom. We've had stories in the past of councils in the UK banning the display of the St. George's Cross, which is the English flag. God forbid we could fly the English flag in England. Now Facebook has admitted to banning swaths of users for posting messages saying they were proud to be English on St. George's Day. An image bearing the legend "Proud to be English" and two crossed flagpoles carrying the English St. George's Cross and the White Lion on a red field, banner associated with Anglo-Saxons, appears to have proved particularly offensive to the so-called Masters of the Universe. and a bunch of those posts. God forbid, showing the English flag on England's National Day was violation of community standards on Facebook. I think Babylon Bee came out with an article earlier where they said the First Amendment is now a violation of community standards because it encourages people to break the law. Meanwhile, Breitbart reports Paris no-go suburbs breaking lockdown measures three times more than average. Because we had the article a couple of weeks ago now from one of the French interior ministers who suggested that these lockdown measures should not be imposed in migrant-heavy suburbs of Paris and other areas of France because, one, they're not being adhered to anyway, and two, because they might start riots. Well, of course, we did have riots in Paris and in 25 other municipalities across France last week and the previous weekend because of an incident with a motorcyclist crashing into a police car. They were out on the street rioting for days and days on end, not social distancing. Now residents in the no-go Paris suburb of Seine-Saint-Denis have received three times the number of fines for breaking Wuhan coronavirus lockdown measures than the French national average. The heavily migrant-populated department, which, of course, the mainstream media says doesn't exist, they actually said that back in 2015, 400,000 illegal immigrants live there, has seen a total of 41,000 tickets handed out for lockdown violations out of 242,000 checks by police. Again, that is four times the national average. The rules apply to some people and apparently not to others. That's going to wrap it up for the show. Breaking news at summit.news. Coming up next, War Room with Owen Schroyer. Now go away. Keep it right here.